Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening. It's me, the Monk.
Have you ever listened to Trash Station Thoughts? That doesn't seem too hard. I can do that. Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Trash Taste. I don't know what episode number this is anymore because it's probably going to be out of order anyway. I'm your host for today, Gant, and joining me once again are the boys. You know who they are.
What are you wearing, Gant?
It's summer now, okay? I need to bring the summer energy, okay? I'm like channeling every... like dad doing a barbecue right now.
You look like if Trevor from GTA 5 got a tan.
Look like the dad with the one too many camera lenses. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I don't know what he's getting up to with his lenses. You know what I mean? Ooh.
Dad that goes bird watching.
Do you really need a 500 millimeter lens that's like this long? Like, is there, come on.
Plays GTA Vice City once. Okay, I've got
goes
it now.
Goes to Miami once.
How are you guys in like surviving Japanese summer? Like, how hot is it today? Jesus.
It's like 35, I think. Well, yesterday was 35.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me start off with something. Hate it when you can't complain about the weather where you're from. It's like, you know.
What?
I said on Twitter, I was like, I'm dying, man. It's 35 degrees. And then someone replies like, it's like 42 here. I'm like, that is not something to be proud of. You live in a fucking, like the actual sun. Why are you bragging?
I fucking hate that shit. Like no matter how hot it is where you are and you could be fucking dying in the Sahara Desert or something. You get to like the nearest town. You're like, fuck man, I just survived the Sahara. And someone from Texas or somewhere would be like, oh, how hot was it? How hot was it?
You didn't measure it? Why didn't you measure it? Huh? It's hotter where I am? You little bitch.
No, because what I've realized, okay, I've like living in Japan has made me change my opinion because before,
what?
Okay, so before moving to Japan or before like moving
it's
out of
be totally unrelated.
Actually, it's not totally unrelated because before moving to Japan or moving out of England, my favorite season was summer. Okay.
Yeah.
I was.
We've discussed this in the podcast before, and we were
Have we?
Yeah. Or maybe it was just off camera. But
I think it was off camera.
I remember we were like talking about because I think you and I both like the winter, much more.
No, winter's worst season.
Lots of no. Fuck off.
Winter's worst season.
Maybe this should become a conversation that we have every single year. The summer turns around, and everyone's gonna be like, "You guys spoke about this already." I'm like, "It's in my head. Shut up."
No, because like I didn't realize that it's like. Summers in England are actually pretty good. And that's why summer was my favorite season.
How hot does it get in England?
It's like 25 degrees Celsius.
That's not summer.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? That's the thing.
No, it gets hotter than that, Gant.
It gets hotter for like one week.
The summer before we left, right? Yeah, but that 1 week is pure hell because UK, we don't have air conditioning. It just doesn't exist.
True.
In homes.
Yeah, the one time I went to the UK, it was during that week.
It's horrible because, you know, at least in Japanese summer, it's like, oh shit, walking outside, fuck, this is, it's way worse. But you can just go in any building anywhere and you're like, oh cool,
just instant hard.
They've got the AC running at full blast, like it's good. But
it's like
in the UK,
it's tundra inside the building.
You have no escape in the UK. The gym has AC, the supermarket probably has it, but like that's it. Like when you go home you're like put on the TV.
Yeah, because like what do you do to cool down in the UK?
Have like 9 fans on you.
So you do have fans.
Yeah, but fans don't do shit.
Yeah, fans don't do shit.
Fans are like-
Fans just dissipate the hot air.
Fans are placebos of like, you're like, yeah, it's definitely doing something. You're like, why am I still sweating so much? Like,
it doesn't because it is just taking the stagnant hot air and just moving it around, right?
Yeah, occasionally I just like, you go up to it, you know, I put my shirt over the fan. Yeah, and I'm like, this is true cooling.
That's the best feeling. Maybe it's a nostalgia.
such a thing for me because growing up or like spending my summers in Thailand, you know, in Thailand, we would try to save costs as much as possible, you know? So like the AC is always like the last resort. So that's like when we're literally like dying of heat stroke.
Yeah,
any other time, it's just like, come on, you can survive with a fan. So like I spent most of my like Thailand experience being cooled down by a fan, and AC was just like, okay, if we don't put the AC on, we're probably going to die here. So I think that's why it's like kind of nostalgic for me. Like I kind of like the fan. Like, I kind of like the feeling of the fan just on me. But I admit, like, if you're not used to it, like, I felt sorry when you and Aki visited us in the UK because you had to sleep in my room. And that was like,
and there was one fan in there.
There was a single fan in like my entire house. And like, Joey, you can have the fan. And I was like, I don't think it actually did anything for you.
I was butt fucking naked in your bed. I'm like, I'm still dying. It sucks. Yeah,
it doesn't help, and it doesn't get cool during the night.
It's the fan, I get like the whole like fan being nostalgic though, because like I have that exact same thing at my grandma's.
Suffering is nostalgic for me.
No, at my grandma's old place in the middle of nowhere in the mountains.
Yeah,
we didn't have AC. It was just because the house was too big to have a single AC unit.
And
like also all the doors were always open, so it was always with a fan.
Yeah,
but it's nostalgic. Is it good memories though? No. Like 10 years old.
I love for just dying slowly.
God, yeah. I remember the time when I almost died of heat stroke in my grandma's house. Good times.
No, but you might be confusing nostalgic with like PTSD. Is it a fine line?
I like the feeling of, I prefer the heat, the feeling of summer over winter, like any day of the week. I don't know. I'm just depressed in winter. Winter's just even like dying in this heat, I still prefer what I'm experiencing now to winter.
What happens to you in the winter?
What happens, bro?
Winter's just the worst season.
It's like a fucking Game of Thrones character now going on about this shit.
It is. It's the worst season. Okay. I think it's like scientifically proven that people are more happy with more sunlight.
I disagree.
Right? I think it's literally more healthier for you to get more sunlight because you are literally happier seeing more sunlight.
But there is sunlight in the winter.
Yeah, there's like barely any sunlight in the winter. And okay, here's the thing that depresses me the most, okay? Yeah. Especially if you're working a 9-to-5 job and you have to commute to work, you wake up. You wake up maybe 7 a.m. or whatever. If you have to commute long, it's like 7, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
You wake up, it's dark. You go to the office at 9 and it's still just like the sun's just rising.
I love that.
You stay.
It's so fun.
No.
Isn't it great? It feels like you beat the morning. Yeah. It's like, I'm ahead of it. All
you
right,
stay
okay.
inside. You stay inside literally all day. You're just in the office with artificial light. You go out, it's 5 p.m. and again, it's dark.
I like that.
I like the night.
What? How could, like, how like, can you not, like how could you not want any sunshine in your life?
I you know, most of the time I have my curtains closed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's too hot.
Even in my office now, I have them closed all the time.
And like the second thing, everything's dead in the winter. There's no color at all. You look outside, everything's gray, everything's drab. How can you be happy with like zero color?
I don't know. I just think you're a boring person.
literally the only thing to look forward to in winter is Christmas. Like I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure they invented Christmas because if they didn't have Christmas, like everyone would just have nothing to look forward to.
Objection, I'm from Australia. We didn't have such thing.
Okay, I've never been to Australia.
No, it's like this and
everyone knows that Christmas was invented by Coca-Cola.
Of course. It's the same colors. It's, you know,
there was no Christmas before Coca-Cola. Everyone knows that. I don't know. It's fun. It's cozy, you know? You get to-
It's cozy.
You get to, also, you get the most drip in winter, you know?
Like, I agree, okay.
You get no drip in the summer.
I wouldn't be wearing this drip in the winter. Yeah. Okay.
You get the best drip and you get the best sleep.
Sleep is clean.
Yeah. Oh no, sleep.
You
sleep
crack the window open a little bit sometimes. It's kind of chilly. Ooh, nice.
It's kind of like just, it's not cold, but it's like a little bit like, ooh, okay, maybe I could, you know, put something light on. But the moment you hop in that bed and you put that blanket over you and you're just wrapped in a warm cocoon, there's like, I'm unstoppable. This sleep is on my side now. And you just get the best fucking sleep. True. Yeah, the mornings suck. But
yeah, the mornings do
but
suck.
But for me, all the mornings suck. I can't wake up in the morning, so it doesn't make a fucking difference for me.
Okay, the only thing I will say is that I can wear turtlenecks in the winter.
Exactly.
That's
would there be Steve Handjobs without winter?
It sucks because your options are so limited in the winter. It's like, you can't wear, the summer. You can't wear more than one layer ever. Like a jacket? Oh, well, that sucks. No, I love jackets. Jackets are so fun.
No jeans?
Hoodies are gone. Jumpers are gone. Yeah, I wear jeans still now, but I'm dying. But that's because I hate shorts.
But that's why I like British summers, because what I realize is that British summers is just like a comfortable, like it's a comfortable temperature yeah. for when, most of the time.
Pre-global warming, yes. It was good because you know, this didn't used to happen. It was never like this in the UK where it was yeah. that bad.
I remember we'd always complain about British summers to be like, every British person I've met is just like, oh, you haven't experienced British summer. It's like really, it rains sometimes, it's cold sometimes. And I'm just like, it's like, it actually slaps compared to other summers, to other places.
Yeah. I would have agreed with you until like 2 years ago when for some reason, 2 years in a row, we just had horrible heat waves that just ruined the summer for me. Because it was always fun in the UK. The best part about it is I like it in summer when the day is hot and the night gets cool.
Yeah.
But in Japan, it doesn't get cool.
No, it does.
No,
I think
really.
It does.
No.
Compared to now, like, because, you know, it's like, what, fucking 2 p.m. right now. It is like the hottest time of the day right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But compared to that, you're right.
Yeah, carry on. I'll
compared to that, when it, you know, the sun finally goes down at like, what, like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Maybe. And like around like 9 or 10, it's like, it's pretty comfortable. That's the kind of weather where I'm like, okay, I'm really comfortable. I can't concentrate with it.
We're going to cut. Max!
You alright?
What's wrong with you all of a sudden?
I don't know, guys. I just want to suddenly ride a mech and battle other people to prove that I'm the best mecha pilot ever. How can I satisfy this sudden urge, you guys?
Well, I'm glad you've asked. I've got just the thing for you, Garn. Mecharena! It's the new casual mobile game shooter on Android and iOS. Hop in your mech, play a game or two, cause some chaos, and be out in just a few minutes. Anyone can play, and you don't need to be a pro gamer to have some fun.
I've actually tried it out, and I really like the Guardian mech. You can shut down enemy abilities like shields or stuns, and it forces the enemy to completely reload their weapons. With just a push of a button, the enemy is dunzo.
That sounds OP as F.
It sure is, gone.
My favorite mech is the Panther. It has the ability called the Stasis Barrier. Put down an invincible wall that blocks enemy bullets and slows anyone that passes through it. If you like to maintain a distance and snipe down your enemies, this mech is for you.
That sounds like a very cool mech.
And even better, gone.
No.
Mech Arena sent us.
What is that?
A box.
What are those?
Well, open it up, Joey. Open it up.
What are you waiting for?
All right. First of all, we got to scan this QR code. Once you scan that in, we have these character cards.
Ooh.
Right here.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
Oh, I'm in like the room.
How did you get that?
It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. So apparently there's a poster in here that you can also scan.
Oh! Wait, that looks cool. That actually looks cool.
Well, while you guys are doing that, let me check out some of the other things inside this box. Oh my god, this thing's so heavy. So I assume this is a Mech Arena coaster? Man, that's got that's got some weight to it. It's like a birthday card, but it's like, it's not only that. It's like a legit screen.
Oh my god.
It's like an actual tablet inside. And it just stops when you close it.
Let me see that. Right, ready for it?
That's actually so cool. Oh my god. We have also what looks like to be the Mech Arena art book, or a little art pamphlet that shows all of the concept art. I guess you can just keep the tablet because there's even a charger inside of it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we just literally just got a free tablet. Oh, and by the way, that's not the coolest thing that's in here, because there's also one more thing, if I can even get it out.
Hell yes, get it out.
We got a little figure.
Ooh, look at that.
A Mech Arena figure, look at
now
that.
Now you can finally get in the robot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and also we've got the Mech Arena t-shirts as well.
Oh yes, where's my t-shirt?
Here's some nice.
Where
t-shirts.
Are our t-shirts?
Crew, throw us a t-shirt. A Mech Arena t-shirt. Yes.
Assert dominance on the mechs with these Mech Arena t-shirts too.
I'm in the Mech Arena.
Mech Arena has just launched globally. They're running a huge celebration event in-game right now with loads of awesome events, as well as a great login reward program, which you definitely don't want to miss out on.
It's completely free to play right now, and you can use the link in the description or scan the QR code here to get one black carbon skin, 300 A-coins, 50,000 credits to help kickstart your game.
And if you're lucky, you might even get to team up with one of us and get to play a game or two together.
I'm getting in the robots right now.
Back to the episode. But like, I like that. I like having as much sunlight as possible. And I feel like the best, like my favorite time period of the entire year is about like, what's the word? Like dusk, summertime, when like the sun's setting, it's about 7, 8 p.m. and you're just watching the sunset. Man, you feel like a fucking anime character, because it's just like, it's that fucking scene where you just like, where the-
Bullshit, do you
in every
sun?
Opening where like the protagonist is watching the sunset and the wind's just blowing.
How often do
you are not breeze? Standing how, yeah. out how, on your how, fucking balcony being like,
how often are you watching the sunset?
Freaking Star Wars!
Is that Star Wars? No, yeah. Shut the fuck up. No, it's anime. How? Shut the fuck
that's
up,
like,
Nubby.
That's
it's
like
not
that
Star
scene
Wars.
On Tatooine, right? Where he's no, like watching the sun go down.
How often are you watching the sunset?
Honestly, that's why I love my balcony. That's why I have a hammock out there.
You fuck off. You're not watching the sunset every day.
I'm not watching it every day.
But that's the hottest time of the day, in my opinion, because you're getting that like direct fucking sunlight. No,
the hottest time
face.
Of the day is fucking now. I can't stand out there for like 10 minutes.
It's hot until the sun goes down. Like the moment the sun rises, it's the hottest time of the day.
No, I mean.
I don't know, man. I like going outside and I don't want to have to fucking, you know, shed away my life expectancy to just go outside.
Yeah, I guess that's why for me in Japan, I think my favorite season is probably spring.
For me, it's the autumn.
Autumn?
Yeah, winter. Like around like October is probably my favorite time of the year, just because it's like, again, you have that, you know, variance in drip, right? You can wear a jacket if it gets a little bit cold in the night, but you can take it off and, you know, rock a long sleeve, right? But it's also not so cold that it's excruciating, but it's not too hot either. You know, it's kind of comfortable.
I feel like that's winter. The same as spring though. And I like the whole, have we talked about Hanami at all? Like the cherry blossom?
I don't think so.
I mean, like, so you watch anime, right? You know what cherry blossoms are. You know what fucking cherry blossoms are.
I won't lie. I was slightly disappointed to find out that cherry blossoms are only around for like 1 week and then they fuck off. Cause I'm like, hold on, they're in all the anime all the time. What's going on with that?
Yeah, they film all the anime in the same week.
I realize it's like a cult in Japan. Like they're obsessed with this, the anime. Like everything evolves. When Hanami's coming up, everything is Hanami.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah.
Everything has to become cherry blossom. It's like everything, everyone just joins like a Call of Duty.
It's because there's a really like extensive history.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, it's nuts. Like it's, I understand why it's an anime so much now, but when I got here, I'm like, wow. Literally everything is decorated like it's a Call of Duty gun skin. It's like everything's there. It doesn't matter what it is, it gets a cherry blossom skin.
I mean, not gonna lie, man, like a good Hanami is fucking dope.
It's good, but it is disappointing. It's only 1 week.
Yeah,
what if you're like busy? You got shit going on that week. You're like,
you gotta wait till next year, right?
I did miss Hanami this week.
Yeah, this year. I didn't do anything this year because I totally forgot. I didn't know when it was coming.
I had one of the best Hanamis this year.
I rub it in, Joe. Fucking hell.
Because we went to fucking Hakone. For it and like all along the Hakone River, it's just like rows and rows of sakura trees.
Do you want to explain what Hanami is to the viewers?
Okay, so Hanami literally means flower watching in Japanese. So it's basically this kind of, I wouldn't even say it's like a festival. It's more like an event that happens.
Isn't it even a public holiday?
No.
I feel like it's a mutual agreement amongst everyone to get drunk in the park.
Yeah, that's
kind of what it is.
Pretty much.
But it's like because the sakura are only around for about a week, and maybe sometimes not even a week, like a couple of days.
Yeah.
People go out and like celebrate by just sitting under a tree, having a picnic under the sakura tree. Do you think it's fucking great?
Do you think it's worth, because I know a lot of people who are like, I want to come to Japan during that time. Do you think it's worth coming to Japan just for it?
I think if it's the first time you come into Japan, I think it's worth.
Yeah.
I think now because we've lived in Japan for 2 years, we're kind of like used to it. But I feel like seeing Hanami for the first time and seeing like all like the cherry blossoms just like falling off the trees, and you have like the ground is literally covered in cherry blossoms like everywhere. I think that's a pretty cool like a
couple of weeks.
Feeling.
Definitely just nodded to you saying that right now. It's like, it's like in the anime.
Like you literally walk through a park and it is literally like every fucking anime scene where like the fucking cherry blossoms.
Yeah, the cherry
like
blossoms
are everywhere,
like fluttering down. Yeah. It's like still looks dope.
It looks dope as fuck. I don't know what it is in Japan that just is like so aesthetic, but it's just the perfect aesthetic.
I mean, Japan is like kind of aesthetic all year round, but I'd say like the most aesthetic is probably during the sakura season.
I'd say if you are going to do it, definitely get out of Tokyo because like every single Hanami place in Tokyo, like every single park that has the cherry blossom trees is
just packed to shit.
Rammed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you will be like, because we managed 2 years ago, we did like a small one.
Yeah.
And we had to get like a corner of dirt in the park right next to the road.
Yeah.
Like it was literally the only spot left in this massive park.
Where did you guys go? Like Shinjuku?
No, we were in Saitama.
Yeah, in Saitama.
Oh, in Saitama.
Right. And it was like, it was rammed as well.
Yeah.
It was so full.
Because what people normally do here in Japan is during the cherry blossom week or season or when they're blooming, people go to the park, they get like a kind of like a picnic area. And then they just get fucking pissed in public. Yeah. Right? It's great.
I'd say go, like, when you come to Japan, definitely do like a week in Tokyo. And then if it aligns with the Hanami, do a week somewhere else where you can then go and celebrate the Hanami.
Yeah.
I feel like doing, because you can't really explore Japan in 1 week, I don't think.
No, you can't.
You can't even explore Tokyo in 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I've been here for like 2 years now and I've barely explored Japan.
How's Hanami in like Hakone, you said?
Oh, I mean, it's great because it's like, I mean, Hakone is still, you know, very much a tourist destination, I mean, compared to like Shinjuku Gyoen or like Yoyogi Park, it's like—
Yeah, you don't get any space at all.
No, absolutely no space at all. And I mean, like, I guess as well, like in Hakone and a lot of places in Hakone, they've definitely like positioned a lot of like onsens and like ryokans and stuff like that around the Sakura. And like around all the aesthetic parts of Hakone. So yeah, it was great. I mean, like we stayed in like an Airbnb that was overlooking like a bunch of like sakura trees on the lake. And in the distance, you could see Mount Fuji. And it was like the most like aesthetic fucking Hanami that I ever had. And I was like, you know what? It's kind of worth to go all the way out there sometimes to just like get a little bit of peace of mind, right? Because otherwise it's just be like, you'd be rubbing shoulders with the person next to you being like, look at the pedal over there. Oh my God. Yeah.
No, it wasn't the people. It was like the fucking kids running around. I mean, like getting pissed is great. Getting pissed with like a bunch of like 5-6-year-olds running around you, like playing football or whatever. It's not exactly like the best kind of vibes to get pissed drunk. Mm.
If you're sitting like where I am now, you are probably like this close to someone as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Someone else is like, mat and picnic set. Well, you say you stayed in an Airbnb. Have you stayed in many Airbnbs in Japan?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, because like 90% of them got fucking axed.
Yeah, so for the Olympics, the Japanese government changed the rules around Airbnbs, basically just gutting them and making it so that you had to follow a lot of, but they basically made it so you had to follow hotel rules. Like you had to have like the fire escape and like the floor lit up to they basically made the rules impossible on purpose where you couldn't turn a profit reasonably.
Basically, because I have stayed in an Airbnb.
Yeah, I stayed in one as well the first time I visited and it was super cheap. You could get like, what did we get? Me and Alan got the Airbnb for what? Like, it was really cheap, like $150.
Yeah, but it was like a really, really small room, I remember.
But it was right in Shinokubo.
Oh,
remember?
Was that the one?
Yeah, it was
that was the one I got really sick in.
Okay. What were you threw up in?
What I want to know. Okay, so this was like, I think the first time you'd been to Japan.
That was my very first time.
Your very first time.
Like almost 3 years ago.
I was so confused. I just turned up in this place. I had the instructions for this Airbnb that I didn't understand. I had my luggage and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I was so confused. Like other side of the world.
And of course, Connor flies over and the very first thing we do once Connor and Alan come over is we go to karaoke and we stay all night.
Well, no, we weren't going to, right? So what happened was
I took you guys to an izakaya for the
So
I was only going to meet, because you guys were like, oh, we're too sleepy. You're probably just going to go to bed. Mm. And then I think me and Jerry were like, well, sit. Well, I think, because it was my first time going to Japan, I was like,
So I was like, finally, I can show this.
I was like, no, fuck this. I'm not resting. Let's go and get drinks.
Yeah, because I was like jet lagged, and so was Connor, I think. I mean, you were jet lagged, but you were running on the excitement of, of course, being in Japan for the first time.
I was like,
time.
Joey, show me around. Let's go. Let's go drink. So then Jerry took me to a very
I took you to a Kinnokura, and it was during the weekday where they have 100 yen beers.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor's mind was just fucking blown.
I was like,
$1?
Yeah. I was like, this is insane. This is like 60p.
This is like uni prices.
No, not even. Uni price don't even get this low. This was insane. This is beer, right? Like legit.
Yeah, like a legit beer, yeah.
And then, we were drinking and then while me and Jerry were getting drunk, I think they were gone and-
We had just landed.
And we were like, were like, you know what? No, we don't want to miss out. So then they came and started drinking and then we went out for karaoke.
Yeah.
And then
I got very sick.
What I want to know. What I want to know, because I know Joey got very sick, if you know what I mean. I had to stay around your place. Yeah. Who slept on the floor?
Alan did.
Gant's editor. And so this was November? November, No, January.
I felt so bad.
It was fucking freezing.
Yeah, it was really cold.
And we had to have the AC running in the room. Problem was, is that there was a door. There was literally no room for anyone else to sleep in this room except for two people.
Yeah. Because I remember going to your place, I'm just like, how the fuck did you fit three people in here? It's literally a shoebox.
Yeah,
so basically Alan had to sacrifice his bed for me.
And he slept in the hallway.
He slept on the hallway.
Alan, the tallest motherfucker.
Yeah.
And by hallway, it was literally like just a single, like very, like
he
it
just
was-
slept on the floor.
It was like a human-sized corridor. Yeah. You could not like fit anything more than just like a fucking human.
And it was like,
there.
It was like -5.
It was really like cold, shivering. He was just like, I wasn't aware that Alan had, you know, given up the bed and slept in the hallway.
You were
I was out. I was throwing up all night. And it wasn't until I woke up that morning and I kind of came to and I was like, where the fuck am I? And then I saw Connor in his bed on the other side. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm in their Airbnb. And I was like, where's Alan? And then I just saw this like lump. In the hallway.
Just this
lump of like blankets.
He was so cold.
Is that how, is he dead? He literally slept in like the fucking shivering hallway for me.
He's that one friend who's like the nicest guy when you're like sick or like when you drank too much, he's always got your back. I threw up one time and even though he was drunk, he cleaned it all up and I just went back to bed.
That was the first time
I hung out with
him.
First time I met him as well.
First time you guys met, right?
Yeah, and he cleaned up me throwing up.
Absolute chat out.
That's
how I know. Like from that point onwards, I was like amazing friends with him because I was like, this guy's got my back.
he cleaned. No one else will do that for me.
I would never do that for someone. I'm going back to bed. You can deal with this tomorrow.
I remember it was like kind of like a house party we had in England where we kind of like rented out an Airbnb and just like caught up with friends. You were like the new guy.
I was like 20 as well. So I was still let's drink way too much.
And I remember Alan telling the story of like, I think everyone was passed out and it was just you and Alan awake and you guys was like sleeping on the sofa or something. And then like, I think he made eye contact with you and you made eye contact with him and he just started laughing and then he just watched you. And how you just like looked at him, laughed and just chunned it everywhere.
That sounds like it. I remember because what was it? You made some drink with like really budget energy drink, and that's like, from that day on, I swore never to drink budget energy drink. Even energy drink is bad enough, but the budget one where it's like 50 cents for 2 liters is like, it's like brake fluid. Like no one, like of course you're gonna throw up drinking that stuff. I'm glad I did because I didn't have to digest.
Exactly.
But Jesus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, we have a mate from home who's now like discovered a new cocktail is what he calls it. It's not a cocktail. Mm. It's literally like, okay, tell me how disgusting this sounds. It's Boost. So Boost energy drink. So budget Red Bull.
Yeah.
Boost and red wine.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Does he have like a functioning like taste buds?
And I'm just like, I thought we grew out of this in university, man.
That can't be.
Not even uni students stoop that low. Like,
I think if you did that in France, you'd be deported.
Like, yes, Rick, I'm calling you out right now. It's disgusting. Stop trying to get me to drink it.
That's so vile.
Yeah. What would that even taste like? Could you even taste the energy drink at that point? Because the flavor of red wine is so overpowering. I feel.
There's some things where even if that tasted amazing, I'm like, no, this is
morally wrong.
This is too broke for me. Like, this is so broke. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't want to partake in it. You can be broke.
Nice follow-up there.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's not poor. It's broke. It's different. Broke is a mindset.
Poor is a lifestyle.
Poverty and being poor is your financial
just
situation.
Just don't be poor.
Being broke is the mindset of, like, I'm going to live like an animal. And I don't partake in that, you know?
You can be rich, but be broke at the same time.
Listen, the reason why-
If you're homeless, just buy
a house. That's poverty, God. That's different. There's a difference between poverty and broke. Big difference, God. Come on.
There's a difference.
Trying to get me in a corner here saying being poor is bad? It is, God. You want me to say-
I mean, you're not doing a very good job of fucking like supporting your argument
you're trying to make. Not my problem.
It's like being like, there's a difference between being ugly and unattractive.
No, you can clearly afford red wine and you can clearly afford energy drink. Why would you mix them? That is you're making yourself broke for no reason. You know,
is that broke?
That's broke. That's broke.
I don't drink energy drink period anymore. I don't know at what age it was where I was just like, man, Red Bull kind of sucks.
Doesn't do anything for me anymore. Actually, you know what? I drink those. I don't know if it counts. Is it an energy drink? The Oraimon C?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't know if I count that as an
energy. I love those things.
Yeah, it's like a vitamin drink.
It's a vitamin drink that's definitely not healthy.
But it's in the same like section as like all the Red Bulls.
You mean
shit?
The Japanese ones?
Yeah, it's like a glass thing. It's got a really satisfying pop.
Yeah.
Like you pull this metal tab and it a really nice pop.
Oronaminshi, yeah. I think it's called.
Yeah. It's this on screen.
I don't know what.
Definitely recommend if you kind of like sweet drink. I don't know who, because I don't really drink energy drinks, but I love this thing.
Yeah,
it's so tasty.
I feel that works better than an energy drink.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's placebo, but
yeah.
I mean, it definitely tastes a lot better for my body than a Red Bull. That's
I think, I don't feel awful after drinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's because now it's gotten to the point where if I have an energy drink, it's literally going to make me unable to sleep for that night. And it never used to be that way. Normally, I could like down 5 energy drinks or whatever and like be fine the night.
But see, I have the opposite problem. I don't get anything from them anymore.
That's because you drink like fucking 5 cups of coffee a day. I'm not fucking surprised.
Maybe. I can quit anytime, Con.
Can you?
I can quit anytime. I just don't
said
want.
Every drug ever.
I can stop anytime. Yeah. It's fine.
Just replace coffee with energy drinks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I quit coffee.
I normally just drink a lot of tea when I stop drinking them.
Yeah, but tea also has caffeine
not
in it.
Not
yeah.
that much, though.
Doesn't tea have more caffeine?
I think tea itself, if you just eat tea, yeah. But
The tea leaves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it's tea.
If you would just eat the tea leaves.
Oh, okay.
Like if you would just eat it, yeah, you'd be taking more caffeine. But no one does that, so you're-
The way you said that was so-
Eat
you know
tea.
You know what I mean? British people be like-
It's not a drink, it's a meal.
Yeah, eat tea.
Scrumptious, ooh.
Sure, if you just like fucking just like, you know, powder the coffee on your food or whatever, get a caffeine fix.
True. What age did you start caring about what you were putting in your body?
I mean, I still don't care too much.
What?
You should probably start thinking
yes,
about that,
you
guy.
Do? Fuck off.
Okay, I care when I can feel the effects. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
No.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
what,
I guess so.
What do you mean by, you mean like the immediate effects?
Yeah, like if-
Like,
if,
oh, I have a tummy ache immediately afterwards, but I probably shouldn't put it in my body.
Yeah, so like-
I can just tell we're about to get on an American topic. You know, this is gonna, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like America's gonna come close.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was already thinking about it. I feel it. My instinct is telling me to shit on America.
Why is your brain like all the time just ready to reload? Like,
sorry, go ahead. I'll just carry on. If it naturally goes that way, I'll naturally go that way.
Okay, no, like there was a point I feel like where you could just put any shit in your body and you could just not feel any like after effects at all. It would just like go away after a while. But now like I have gotten to a point where, for example, I try to keep a healthy sleep schedule because if I don't get a healthy sleep schedule, I just feel like shit. Well, and yeah. I don't know. I just feel like there was a point when I didn't care about a sleep schedule and it didn't matter to
and
like
discover sleep for the first time.
I think a sleep schedule, you know, when you've got shit to do, that's when
that's it, right? Yeah, that's it. When you've got shit to do and you want to be productive, like not like waking up late actually affects that. And I'm just like, yo, I never thought about this when I was a uni student because I did everything at 4 a.m. in the morning and I still got a passing grade.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that's why I'm jealous of YouTubers who get canceled, you know? They just get to take a break. They just get to like fuck off for 4 months. You know what I mean? Like they just can stop
benefits
doing.
To getting canceled. You get a sleep schedule.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck off, man. You canceled him. He gets to take a 4 month like paid vacation. His videos are still getting views. What are you on about? Like this man's gonna come back in 5 months. David Dobrik got 2 month vacation. That's all he got. This is bullshit.
So what is the right amount of time for like a YouTuber cancel break?
I don't know, mate. But the more, when I saw David Dobrik and he came back, zero repercussions, his views came, his video that he came back with got the same amount of views. Dislikes to likes are amazing. Mm. He got amazing likes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, this man got a fucking month vacation. This is bullshit. And he got free articles about him. He can get verified now on Twitter. I'm kidding. He wasn't already.
As if he wasn't already. Yeah.
But I was like, what the
he
fuck?
He can get double verified.
There was like no repercussions. And I'm like, wow, what point is it like, damn, getting canceled doesn't look too bad right now.
I mean,
don't ask for it.
Like, yeah, if Logan Paul can literally come back from showing a dead body, I feel like anyone can come back, you know, it's... Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the truth, you know.
Mr. Anime said the same thing.
Oh, no.
Joey, I can come back from this.
Oh, God, Joey.
Joey finna get canceled right now.
What, for telling the truth?
That was a joke. Joey said a joke is a joke. Please don't cancel Joey. No, but I was just thinking about it because you're saying that like, oh, my mom made many jumps in logic there. Because you were saying, oh yeah, well you got shit to do. But when you, you know, when you, as YouTubers, you always have shit to do. There's no vacations. You can't just take a month off.
People take a month off for a mental health break, which is like, I say with inverted commas because it's kind of become a cliche now, even though it's very important and YouTubers do fucking need it.
But you know, it's sad because if you get canceled, you almost get a better vacation because- there's people still talking about you while you're gone. And people like searching about you and making videos about you. Like, I know that sounds awful and, you know, it's not great, but like, you are still getting way more traffic than you would be just taking a break, right? So if you do something kind of semi-bad, you know, just something that's like, do something light, you know? Just do something like, oh, just, I don't know, just fart on a dog or something. I don't know. Just something that's like not too, you know, bad.
Fart on a dog.
I don't know. I don't know. What's something that you'll get backlash for but isn't really that bad, that you can just come back from in a month, you know what I mean? And then you'll get
give
like-
give your cat vodka.
Yeah, I literally did that. She was perfectly fine, you know? Yeah. Starting to think I should get a pet. I'm kidding, that's a joke. That's a joke.
This is a trash taste getting cancelled speedrun. Yeah. What can we get
I just thought about it and I was like, hold on a second. All these people just get like basically paid vacation. This is bullshit.
I mean, I think it's like different severities.
Yeah, the people that get like quite severe. Yeah, it's quite bad. But I'm noticing more and more, a lot of them just, if they haven't really done anything criminal, they just kind of like bounce back super easily.
I mean, there are some people who did shit criminal. Yeah. Well, that's still
David Dobrik's thing was kind of criminal, to be fair. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it was kind of criminal. I mean, it
endangered someone's life. Yeah. It's came back all right with it. Like, it just amazes me. It's like a Jesus Christ, like a cult.
Yeah, but then there's like examples like EDP 455. Yeah, I think he's definitely not coming
back. That man is never coming back.
I mean, he's trying real hard to come back.
EDP was a YouTuber who got caught trying to meet up with 14-year-olds.
Yeah,
didn't he like try to start his own website or something?
Yeah, he did.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he did.
Because he got his YouTube banned, and then he was like, finna go to Facebook.
You know it's bad.
And then
Facebook
his Facebook
banned
got banned.
You. Yeah, Facebook banned him.
And so he's like, finna start my own website. he's trying really hard, man.
But yeah, the main point of this whole me going on this tangent was that, I feel like, as YouTubers, you don't really get a break. I know we're complaining, oh, boo-hoo us. Who cares? I mean, we have easy jobs, so whatever. But I mean, it's, you know, we don't really get like set vacations, which sucks. And I kind of miss, you know, one thing I really do miss doing is just being able to start 2 weeks off, just play video games. Just catch up with shit. Like, I don't even want to go places anymore. Like, because I travel anyway on like weekends or whatever. Yeah, I find 3 days here and there. And that's fun, but it feels like you're still doing something. Mm. But I just want that, I miss that feeling of like, I'm going to take 2 weeks off, catch up to all the movies, catch up to all the manga, just play all video games, you know? Maybe might start Persona, probably won't. Just buy it, just look at it.
So many games in my backlog that I just want to play. Like the new Mass Effect remaster got released and I'm just like, I want to play that.
But I'm going to.
I haven't even played Persona 5 Royal yet and fuck it, fuck knows where I'm going to get the time to do that.
Yeah. I now have two wish lists. I have the wish list where I will actually use the thing and the wish list where, this is just a wish list where it would be nice, but I won't use it.
Yeah.
It's the canceled wish list.
Because like you said, you had a day the other day where you just woke up and you did nothing and it was amazing.
Yeah, I kind of just woke up one day and I was like, well, I don't really have any like videos to work on. I don't really have any like other side projects to work on. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna do a power move. Yeah. Not do anything. Like not do anything worthwhile. I didn't even like check my phone that day. I was like, nah, phone turning off. I'm just gonna do shit around the house and just hang out. And I was like,
yeah.
Damn, is this what like a weekend feels for every other person? Like I'm literally experiencing a weekend for the first time in my life. I was like, oh my God, this is, I should do this more often.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like I think for us, especially the last few months have just been super fucking busy with us building this set and having to like film a bunch of episodes to get ahead. I remember we had like this 2 week period where it was like, we finished building the set and then we filmed a Trash Taste episode every day for like, it was like we had a recording session with either Trash Taste or like a Netflix shoot or some kind of other live stream every day for like 2 weeks without any breaks on weekends or anything.
That was brutal.
That was like, I was like close to burnout then.
Yeah, I do film my schedule up on purpose.
Yeah. Like, I'm jealous of you, right? I'm jealous of you the most because you view streaming as a downtime. Yeah. I'm just like, I wish my downtime could be work.
I wish I could get paid for my downtime.
I wish I could be paid for my downtime.
I just enjoy it. And that's like, people always complain at me like, oh, make a stream schedule. I'm like, nah, bro, because I just do it whenever I want. But I stream often, like around the same times. But people are like, you have to make a stream schedule.
Yeah, why do you need a stream schedule? You literally stream like, what, 3 or 4 times a week?
Yeah, because I think to myself, most of the time, whether I decide to stream is normally on the day. And that's normally like, if I've worked too much or maybe I want to just chill out, you know, maybe I've got too much work to do. So I don't want to do it because the moment I commit it to a schedule is when it's work.
Yeah, exactly.
If I say I have to stream it this day, it's work. Yeah. And then that's why I won't start having fun. So.
Well, I mean, like, I guess for you, it's like good because you have that one game. that you can stream, which you also just play casually.
I think when you're
chess, right?
No. it is right now, but like I guess talking about streams.
Probably what by the time this is out, you would have found out the winner of the tournament arc 2, which we are currently being part of.
Yeah, well, because we are recording these in advance because me and Garner plan to go to the UK, as we've mentioned. So we're quite far ahead right now, but we're in the middle of the chess tournament. So I've been playing a lot of chess recently, which I've been really enjoying. I think when you are streaming, it is very helpful to have at least one game that you can come back to when you're like running out of ideas.
I think that's what I'm currently trying to find right now. Yeah. Is that one game where I'm just like,
the problem is my one game that I've just played a lot is just like not very popular.
Yeah.
Whenever I play, everyone's just like, oh, he's obviously doing this because it's a sponsored stream. And I'm just like, no, I just enjoy the game. No one fucking plays this game, but I'll play it.
I did notice that when I started playing Apex, because Apex is probably the game I've streamed most, that my viewership was considerably lower than normal. But I was like, well, no, fuck it. I like this game. I'm going to keep playing it. And then after time, it actually like went up to the point where if I stream new games now, it's normally lower than Apex.
Yeah.
Because I've built up like the following.
Well, I feel like
you have to stick through.
I feel like you also got very lucky as well, because Apex did just have a massive boom in general
because
of like every VTuber under the sun
Apex
playing
Raid
it.
Shadows,
Apex Raid of Shadows.
Raid of Shadows.
Yeah, I don't know why. That was not even intentional. I was just playing it, and then I started seeing every VTuber's playing. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah. See, that's not going to happen with my comfort game, because my comfort game is about 30 years old.
What's your comfort game?
Like, any Final Fantasy game.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like I can't like fucking stream Final Fantasy VI, even though it's one of my favorite games of all time, because no one's going to fucking watch it. And it sucks, you know?
Well, would you even want to stream your comfort games?
Yeah, I mean, because I think, like, again, it's like Apex with Connor, where it's like, it's just a comfort game, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to see it as work, or, like, you don't have to necessarily be, like, entertaining and wacky and goofy and, you know, try and hold an audience, right? Like, you can just play a game casually as you would normally do, and people would just be there to watch you play it, right?
Yeah.
It's different. It's very different to my normal streams as well, I'd say. Depends on what I'm doing.
Like, you're a lot more quiet during your Apex stream.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because I'm focusing on the game.
Yeah.
So it's like I talk in between stuff happening.
Yeah.
So it's, depends what's going on. But normally. Yeah. But that's why I like talking to Japanese people on there, because it's fun.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to find more things that I want to watch. I feel like I'm more of like, I like doing passive things rather than active things a lot of times in my downtime.
Mm.
Like the other day, like a few days ago, I ended up watching all of Loki for like the new Marvel series.
It's
actually really fucking good.
Oh,
and I'm not that invested in the Marvel franchise. So I was just like, oh, I'll just put on one episode, just see what it's about. And I just ended up binging the entire thing. And I was just like, this is fucking amazing. Because it was only 6 episodes, but every episode is 40 minutes long. So I basically just binged an entire season of anime. Just that's how I think of things. You know?
But it wasn't anime.
But it wasn't anime. And I'm just like, damn. Why can't I do this with anime anymore? Fuck, man. I miss that so much.
So busy now where I like dread good stuff coming out. Because I'm like, fuck, I gotta find time to watch this now.
See, if only you could like watch Loki on Twitch, right? Just use that as your downtime. Just have people watch parties. Yeah.
Honestly, I would love to have watch parties with like different things I'm watching. Yeah. But obviously DMCA shit. Yeah,
obvious reasons,
can't do that.
Yeah.
But like, because like, I know Sydney, her downtime thing is that she watches horror movies, and I don't know how she finds so many fucking horror movies to watch. I didn't know this many horror movies existed. She watches at least 3 new horror movies every week.
Dude, like,
at least.
The cesspool of horror movies is like never ending. It's like, actually insane.
I was never big into horror movies. I don't really like horror movies. And I assume you guys aren't big fans either, because none of it showed up on our 3x3s.
No, I don't.
Like, not a single one.
There's some good ones, but it's like, it's not my favorite genre. That's for sure.
But she somehow finds so many new ones.
Huh? Shining's really good.
Shining's good. I like The Shine. I like, there's only a few horror movies that I really like. Mm. Shining's one of them. I've really, because like my taste in horror movies is really niche, I think, because I like kind of Lovecraftian horrors, because I don't like the usual, like, you know, jump scares, ghosts, paranormal stuff.
That's the problem, is that so much horror is jump scares now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because it's cheap and easy to reliable.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm such a big fan of like Junji Ito and stuff like that, because it's really like the horror that I like is really just the ones that really unsettle me,
like the macabre horror. Right?
Yeah.
No, I'm exactly like that. Like the kind of like Asian horror is like definitely more my taste in horror. Because like again, it's like you see like you know you watch one Paranormal Activity, you've basically seen them all.
How
right?
the fuck did Paranormal Activity get so big?
It's because Steven Spielberg greenlit it. He literally,
is that true?
Yeah. So I actually read up on it because I had the exact same thought. I was like, I saw fucking the trail of a Paranormal Activity 73 and I was like, why are there so many?
But I remember when it came out, I was in school and everyone was like, this is the scariest movie ever.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So scary.
Yeah, I know, right? And I was just, everyone was like shitting their pants over it. I remember because I was in university at the time. And so I was like, all right, I'll see what the hype's about because back then my roommates had a watch party and then we watched Paranormal Activity, the first one. Mm. And everyone was like jumping at just like the fucking closet opening. And I'm just like, I can literally see the fucking string being used to open this fucking door. How is this scary? What is going on?
One remote press.
I watched one that I thought wasn't bad. Was it The Invisible Man? It wasn't that bad, actually. Is that what it's called?
Oh, The Invisible Man. Yeah, the one about the
Invisible Man.
That is
Shit.
Sydney showed me that one.
I like that one.
It was all right.
Yeah, I quite like that one. Yeah. I watched it in the cinemas. Pretty good. I enjoyed that one.
I like, I watched the other day, I finally watched, what is it, Hereditary?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. How was that one?
Because I missed out on it when it first came out, so I kind of missed the initial hype. Because I was like, Western horror, it's whatever for me.
Yeah.
But then I think Felix showed me Midsommar, which is done by the same guy, Ari Aster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is very creepy, but also kind of cool and experimental. So I was like, all right, well, I heard Hereditary was pretty good. I watched it. It's weird. I almost wouldn't even call it a horror film. It's like, I don't know. It's, you know what it feels like? It feels like if David Lynch made a horror film.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Where it's like, it's scary. But as
we established in the previous like, 3x3, Joey, the big art snob.
Yeah, I'm
David Lynch.
Yeah.
I feel like you just, to make a good horror movie, you have to be fucked up.
Yeah.
Well,
you just be completely fucked up.
Yeah. To make any horror content, I feel you need to be fucked up.
Maybe.
In some aspect.
Actually, me and Sydney watched, we had a night the other day that we just kind of like binged part of like the Final Destination series. And the reason for that was because I kind of remembered my very first.
As a teenager, I loved those films.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the very first time I watched Final Destination, and it was actually in school, right?
Right.
So I think it was like middle school at the time. So I was like, I think around 12, 13 years old, and I don't know if the same thing for Australia, but you know, like at the end of term in school, right? It's kind of like a free for all. And the teachers, it's kind of like that period where it's like the last two classes of the year or something. Teachers just let you do whatever the fuck you want, right?
Yeah.
Was that true in Australia?
Yeah, I definitely think. It depends on the school, but I think most schools, it was kind of just like, I'm going on break in fucking 3 days.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
Yeah. So it was just like, in the school that I was in, you just had a week period where you just basically go to class and every teacher would put on a different film. Or
just
like,
roll in the TV,
yeah, just,
right?
just roll on the TV and everyone would watch a different film. And like fucking 90% of the time, it was Shrek. It was fucking, it was just always Shrek.
I was about to say, we watched Shrek like every year, at least twice.
Yeah, okay, good to know that was just a nationwide
it's
thing.
It's that time of year again.
Okay, it's like end of year, all right, I guess it's Shrek again. And I remember this one class, one of my classmates brought in a DVD, right? Because because the teacher would ask, what does everyone want to watch? And so this guy, Samuel, he brings out the DVD and he brings out Final Destination. And he was like, this is a film I think the entire class would want to watch. And everyone's like, yeah, sure. Anything.
How old are you?
I think we were like 12 at the time.
That is scarring for a 12-year-old.
I had not heard of Final Destination at the time, but we're like, yeah, sure. Like, cause like, you know, anything to get us away from Shrek or whatever, or whatever the usual films we were watching, right? So he was like, miss this, I think like the classroom would want to watch this, and nobody kind of like opposed it. So, and the teacher had never heard of the film before.
Oh my God.
Okay. So she was
that's
like,
dangerous.
So she was like,
this boy just had this DVD on him.
I think he knew what he was doing. Right.
Yeah.
And so the film starts off in Final Destination and characters are always like, it's, I don't know what the rating was like back then, but characters were already swearing, but I think in PG films in like the UK, even if you have like one or two swear words, it can still be skewered towards like the lower ratings if it's just like one or two swear words.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So like characters, so I remember the opening scene where they like get on the plane and people start arguing or whatever. It's kind of sus because you can hear people obviously swearing. Yeah. And the teacher's just like, Samuel, is this suitable for this age range? And he's like, yeah, miss, don't worry. It's just the opening scene. Don't worry, miss. Yeah. Like, just don't worry about it. And she's like, okay. And so I remember the opening scene is where like, I think it's where the plane crashes. That's the first final destination. And yeah. I remember, so a bunch of 12-year-olds are just watching this plane take off. And then obviously the plane starts to crash. The wing snaps and everyone's fucking screaming. It's terrifying, yeah. Right? In the scene. And then you see like blood splatter and then you see someone getting burned alive. And immediately, like the teacher gets up. Aggressively gets off to the TV, doesn't even switch it off, unplugs the TV and goes, Samuel, get outside now. And that was my very first experience at Final Destination.
Absolutely Chad Samuel. He was like, he probably walked out and was like, worth it.
I remember one of them put like, it was an art class, I remember this. And like the teacher was not tech savvy at all.
Yeah.
Right? And he put Meat Spin on all the PCs and then just unplugged all the mouse and keyboards. And the teacher was having a mental breakdown, didn't understand why he couldn't just like, he was like fucking hammering the keyboard.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't it turning off? And then started hitting the monitor, then trying to turn the monitor off. And you don't even think he knew how to turn it off.
Yeah.
And then he didn't know how to turn it off. He didn't even think of unplugging it or anything. So this was still playing the whole time. And then goes and gets another teacher to come in. Right. And he's like, why didn't you turn it off? He's like, oh, I didn't know how. He just presses the button to turn it off.
Classic Meat Spin.
It was like Meat Spin. And there's like these poor girls as well. I've never seen this.
Don't look it up. You don't know what that is.
Because obviously we're all like 12. So every guy had seen it. We're like, yeah, you've seen Meat Spin. If you're a guy and you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Meat Spin, Lemon Party. That was it, right?
Lemon Party.
You didn't know what Goatsy was.
I didn't know what Goatsy
right?
was. That was obviously like a few years past.
God,
where...
What was it? You came in the office like, what, like a month ago? I was like, I just found out what Goatsy is. Something, right? And we were like, oh, how did you find that out, right? How did you find out?
How do you find out about Goatsy in 2021?
No, you guys were the ones who told me about it.
Really?
Yeah, it was like literally a recording of Trash Taste and you were just telling...
Why was I talking about Goatsy?
Wait, this was in an episode.
No, this wasn't an episode. This was like before we started recording.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't know what it was.
No, I didn't know what it was.
How did you... wait, you know what Meat Spin was? You didn't know what Goatsy was?
I had to explain to God what Goatsy was.
Please don't look it up. Yeah, it's some man spreading his butt cheeks.
Literally, yeah, but it's 2021, okay? You don't need to know what Meat Spin is or Goatsy.
These are all just like websites Lemon Party. With like people doing horrible things to trick people, stuff like that.
Pretty sure you can find way worse stuff on the internet now anyway. So,
oh yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, but back when we were growing up, this was just like the shit you'd like show your mates, like fucking what, like, what else?
Hey, there's this really cool thing if you Google Meat Spin.
Oh, two girls, one cup.
I mean, Those Two Girls, One Cup is still scarring to this day.
Yeah.
I remember watching that.
Yeah, going back to horror movies, like I would like to find a horror movie I really liked. Has anyone seen Annihilation? The one with Natalie Portman
I've
in it?
I've heard of that.
That sounds so familiar. Yeah. What happens in this?
So
it was the plot breakdown.
So the plot breakdown is that there's an alien artifact or some artifact from space that crash lands somewhere in the world, obviously, and it creates this kind of force field barrier, right? And you can easily enter the barrier, but you can't get any like electrical signals or any like communications into
this
barrier.
Feature
this features Natalie Portman
and is it Hawkeye?
No, you're thinking of Arrival.
That was the one. Fuck.
Which I really like Arrival
as
well.
I heard that was good.
That was good. That's not a horror movie though.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted more sci-fi stuff, which I think is why I was really into Loki. And so they can't get any, they can't get any signals in there. So they don't know what's going on in there. And every team that they've sent in there just never finds their way out. So they literally don't know what's going on in there. And this force field is slowly, slowly expanding. So eventually it will cover the whole Earth. So they need to kind of stop it, right?
Yeah,
they need to kind of figure it out. And so They send this team of scientists to go investigate what's inside there, and I kind of won't spoil it from because a lot of weird things happen. And it's not like, it's not so, what I liked about it is it's really terrifying, but not because of any jump scares, just some of the ideas within this, you know, with some of the ideas of what happens to the people within this circle are just like really unsettling and really terrifying. It is very much like a kind of like Junji Ito ideas, where it's just really weird kind of ideas that you kind of have to have like, I don't know what kind of mind you need to come up with these things. But it's that I would like more horror like that. And I don't know where to start with recommendations, which is why if anyone knows any, then I'm all open.
What was that film with the woman, Nicolas Cage? And there's like numbers and there's a kid who like has the numbers.
I don't know how I remember this.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
What is it?
I can't remember, but I remember it being really fucking stupid.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage, he stops like a plane crashing or something.
I think because I watched this as a kid. I remember I think it's like
this
something.
This used to be a series where we just like try and poorly recollect movies. like what's this movie I watched? That one movie where like this thing.
Okay. I'm going to try and recreate this movie from what I remember.
How do you remember this perfectly?
Because as a kid in the summer, this is going on another tangent now. So my summers consisted of me going to Thailand and me spending like 6 weeks in Thailand. And obviously I wouldn't have something to do every day. So like part of my childhood experience is going to the mall and basically every Southeast Asian country, there'd be these stands where you have these like DVD covers and you just flip through the covers and just choose which movies you'd want to see. Yeah. And some of them weren't out on DVD yet officially, right? Yeah. So you just flip through them and you just want, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one. And then they'd ask you to go walk in the mall for like a good half an hour to an hour. And then they'll call you. I'll tell you when your purchase is ready, which was 100% totally legal, of course. But
we all know that Southeast Asia is very strict copyright.
Yes. So like my summer would just be basically watching every blockbuster Hollywood movie that came out that year, because I look forward to it because I could literally pick every film.
And to this day, Knowing is still the best.
And to this day, I still remember Knowing. That's honestly why 50 First Dates almost went on my 3x3, because I'd watched that so many times.
I thought you were going to say because of Knowing or something. I was like, what does this have to do with it?
Because there's only one movie that tops Knowing. 50 First Dates.
Yeah, so like, I'd watch so many of these films, which are now what I classify as like airplane films, because now I would not watch them in any other circumstances unless I was on an airplane. But Knowing was one of the films that I was stuck inside indoors in Thailand, had nothing to do but just watch films. And from what I remember, it was I think it had to do with like a time capsule that was buried ages ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was it. And there was like a number, like a cipher or something in
it. Yeah, there was some kind of cipher.
With numbers.
Or something that like, and that like predicted the apocalypse or something.
Sounds dumb.
And Nicolas Cage was just like, I see the future. I see what's going to happen.
The numbers based on what I mean.
And stuff, Nicolas Cage things happen.
Yeah.
And then the world literally ends, because I think it's a solar flare that kills everyone. Spoilers if you ever wanted to watch Knowing.
I wanted to watch Knowing.
If you ever wanted to watch the masterpiece that is Nicolas Cage's Knowing. How did we get on this topic?
We're just talking about movies, eh? Just talking about horror movies. That was a horror.
Is that a horror movie?
I think it is a horror. It's supposed to be a horror.
It's not a horror movie.
I'm looking up right now. Yeah. I'm looking up right now, Knowing by Nicolas Cage.
Right, can we take a break? Because I need to pee. And I'm very hot right now.
Yeah, I found out it is a science fiction film, not a horror film, but it was
It was pretty horrible.
It felt like horror.
It was pretty horror. Right? Whatever happened to Nicolas Cage?
I don't know, he's just busy.
He just kind of went off the rails, didn't he, a little bit? And then
I don't know. I don't feel educated enough to talk about it. I don't really keep up with Nicolas Cage's life.
How many Nicolas Cage films have you seen?
A fair amount.
Too many.
Really?
Too many.
Probably more than I'd care to admit.
I probably watched one and I was like,
what?
All right.
Really?
You don't watch like Con Air?
Huh?
Yeah, Con Air. I was about to say Con Air.
I've heard of that one.
Fucking classic.
I think I watched, what was the one where he was in Vegas?
Fear and Loathing in Las
Vegas. Yeah, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I watched that.
The one with Las Vegas in the title.
Did that have Nicolas Cage in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Nicolas Cage. Oh. Yeah.
I had no idea.
I watched Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and I was like,
Wait, right. Is that a remake? Is it a remake of an older movie? I feel like it is a remake.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah. I watched that and I saw his, like, you know, the scene where he, like, fucking loses it in the casino?
Yeah.
That one.
All right. I just got, like, at that moment, I was like, I understand Nicolas Cage now. And then everything else I've seen from Nicolas Cage has just been, like, YouTube clips from other movies that he's
honestly
been in.
that's all you need to, like, experience Nicolas Cage.
I feel that's the best way to experience Nicolas Cage, just out of context movie clips, right?
I think one of my favorite YouTube Nicolas Cage clips is, there's a lot, by the way, there's a lot, but one of my favorites is just someone edited him, like, during, like, a driving scene or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's just him, like, getting into a car and just, it out of context, it looks like he's just play driving. Like, it's so hard to describe, but you gotta watch it. And another thing is just Nicolas Cage slowly losing his mind as well.
Yeah.
Where have you seen that one?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's just like him slowly getting more and more crazy as the clip goes to the soundtrack of Requiem of a Dream. It's absolutely fucking amazing.
I've seen this one.
I gotta show you afterwards.
Fear and Loathing is not a remake.
Oh, it's not a remake.
Not. It's a screenplay adaptation of a novel, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not a remake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what happened to Nicolas Cage? We could use more Nicolas Cage films, honestly. I don't know. I can't remember how we got onto the topic of Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no, I lied. I've seen that other film with Nicolas Cage, the Not the Bees one. What the fuck is that called again?
The Bees.
The Bees one.
I know exactly.
What the fuck is the name of that movie?
I have not seen the Bees one.
I've not seen that movie, but I've seen that
scene.
I've seen Wicker Man.
I saw that. I watched Wicker Man just because that, you know, the fucking Not the Bees one was like, it was a meme for the longest time. So I'm like, well, I mean, it's a funny meme, but I kind of want to see this scene in context, right? I just got really curious. I was I want
to
see
this. Do you need to see the scene in context?
So I watched it in context.
Oh, did you actually?
Yeah.
Did makes you actually?
Just as much sense out of context, honestly. It was the first time where I watched it, and then I instantly recognized the meme, right? I was like, oh, this is the scene.
Yeah.
Finally, I'll be able to understand why they pour the bees in the basket. And I watched it, I was like, no, I don't know. Did I like pass out for like 5 minutes or something? Like it just suddenly went to this scene. I was like, I don't understand why this is kind of unnecessary.
What is that film even about?
I think I don't even remember. The only scene I remember is the bee scene. Like I think everybody who watched Wicker Man only remembers that
the
scene.
The bee scene.
The bee scene.
Honestly. Is there any other scene in the movie? It's just that.
Nothing that's notable, no. Nothing that's worth putting to memory.
My God.
Yeah, like on the topic of horror films, one thing that always like fascinated me as a kid that I don't think is around anymore is like, I feel like part of the, you know, the blockbuster or rental DVD experience for me was going to the rental, like the blockbuster, and just seeing like the fucking horrific DVD covers of like every horror movie, right? I don't know why. Like those fascinated me as a kid. And
were they bad or like, what do you mean horrific? Like scary?
Yeah, they were like really fucking terrifying.
I was like, cause the blockbuster near my house, well, that's not there anymore, obviously. It was separated into aisles for different genres.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
All of the action blockbusters were in one aisle.
Yeah.
All the romance were in one aisle. And then right on like the far left of the blockbuster, there was the aisle for all the horror films.
Yeah.
I was so scared to walk down that aisle. Just because in my periphery, you just see these like terrifying looking movies, right? And it's like, usually it's got like a really scary face that's like looking right in front. I'm just like, I almost-
Both of you were scared of seeing the horror titles?
Honestly, I'm like, I'm kind of a pussy. Honestly, when it comes to films, I'm kind of a pussy when it comes
I'm
to horror.
I'm a proud pussy.
I will happily admit that like Sydney tries to get me to watch a horror film. I'm like, no, Sydney, I am too scared. Okay.
I think because I had an older brother, two older brothers, I think I just saw the covers laying around a bunch. Because they were like, you know, my oldest brother was like, I don't know. I actually don't know how many years older he is than me. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't keep track.
I can actually
like
remember
five or six. I don't know.
I can actually remember the time where I realized I hated horror films. It's because like I think I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
And I was in the living room and my parents were watching The Ring.
Oh.
And like, obviously, you know, I was kind of just hanging around while they were just watching that movie. But I remember I looked over at the TV and it was the scene where Sadako comes out of the TV.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I was like, I hate this. I hate this. I hate anything that is like this. I hate any film that is like blue gradient.
The VHS effect.
The true horror is when you're like 14 watching a film with your parents and a sex scene comes on.
Oh my god.
Hashtag relatable.
And you're like, I don't know what this is. What is this? I have no idea what's going on here.
Even a kiss scene for me was like know, a way.
What, really? You're like, oh jeez. Oh,
no, like a way too dragged out kiss scene. You know what I mean? Where it's like, it's not like a pash. It's like a make out scene.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to the sex scene. It just stopped. It's probably like a PG film or something. It's just a really long make out scene. I'm just like, guys, we get it. Get a fucking room. All right, please. My parents are here. Stop it.
No, because like I remember what back in the age of like teen comedy flicks with stuff like American Pie and stuff like that. I don't know why.
American Pie was always on TV in the UK.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
On ITV2, it was always on.
Yeah, it was always on.
It was always on at like 10 to 11. For some reason, they played all the American Pie films all the time.
Okay.
I feel like
everyone in the UK has seen American Pie.
Yeah. Right. It was always uncut as well. It was the closest thing we had like to a... The comedy
like
classic.
Show boobs and stuff. And I was like, whoa, it's 11 p.m. What?
And of course, your parents would have to walk in over like during every fucking nude scene and every fucking makeout scene. Because I remember my parents walked in when I was watching American Pie 2. And of course, there was like the lesbian makeout scene.
Oh my God.
And of course, that was the scene that they had to walk through.
Have those movies aged well? I don't think they've aged.
I don't think they've aged well at all.
No.
I haven't seen American Pie in a while.
I think all those kinds of like teenage comedy films have just not aged well. Like Scary Movie has not aged well.
Scary Movie was never funny. I don't know.
Nah. I think I remember there was
but
one
it's less
time,
funny now.
Yeah.
One time I was watching something and it was like, I think there was drugs and sex in it and I was just playing my Game Boy.
Yeah.
While this is going on. Yeah. And they were like, oh, I remember I was like 12, so my parents were like, oh, don't worry, he doesn't understand anything. And I'm like, oh, I think I do. I'm just pretending like I'm not paying attention. They were like, yeah, I think it's fine. I think he gets it. I don't think he understands what's happening. And I'm like, yeah, totally.
You're like, damn.
I'm like, whoa, this is weird.
Did your parents ever say anything during like those fucking awkward scenes? Or
no,
was
that's
just
what
like,
made it.
Was it just like the awkward silence?
It was just silence. That's what made it more awkward.
But I always used to like get up and like be like, I got to go to the bathroom.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I did.
I remember
if one of my parents didn't do it, I was like, I'll be the one to go to the bathroom.
You know what film? I remember watching it like age 10 with my parents. I think this is why they played it because I was so young where they thought he's not going to understand anything.
Right. Yeah.
It was Brokeback Mountain.
Nice.
With like my parents.
Okay.
And I don't remember what happened in it because I was 10, but I do remember there was gay things happening.
Yeah. It's just Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger having a lot of sex.
Yeah, that's what I remember. But I was like, oh, okay. I don't understand what's happening. But my parents were like, for some reason they were like, yeah, let's watch Brokeback Mountain with our son.
It's so unfortunate though, because that's actually a really fucking good movie.
No, because I went back and watched it after I was like, I think 18, because I'd watched The Dark Knight. I was like, whoa, this Heath Ledger guy can act good.
Damn.
Yeah, and then obviously because you found out about his death, and you're like, whoa, I got to watch everything he's in.
Yeah,
and I was like, whoa, this is good. I think I remember watching this, but I couldn't remember when. And then I was like, oh,
the PTSD kicked in.
And like kicked flashback. I remember that. But I remember speaking to my friend, and he was like, yeah, do you ever just feel awkward when sex scenes come on when you're with your friends? And I'm like, no,
no.
I'm like, no, not at all.
When you're with your friends, it's different.
I'm like, what? No.
Yeah.
Why would I feel awkward with a sex scene with my mates? Like, then it's just weird, isn't it? It's just, and I'm like, no.
I don't think I've ever watched a sex scene with my mates now that I think about it.
Is that like a thing you have to like check off?
I don't know.
You never watched a film with your friends that has a sex scene in it?
I'm trying to think.
I think I've watched like funny porno plots with my friends, like Fake Taxi. With my friends.
I've just watched porn with my friends.
Yeah, I think I have watched, I have been like, let's watch this funny porno, you know?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever gone through that, no.
That's like my favorite pastime, is like watching cursed porn with my friends.
How can you never watch porn with your friends? And I had a friend as well, who was like, you can watch straight, normal movies with straight sex in it,
okay.
But he couldn't watch normal movies with gay sex scenes in it with his friends. He was like, it's just super uncomfortable.
That's Why? Just a bit of macho insecurity.
Yeah,
that sounds a bit insecure to me.
I was like, I don't know, man. It sounds like you're a little insecure to me. He's like, no, I just don't like it. I'm like, why don't you like it? And then he's like, I'm not homophobic. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Homophobic part.
What's wrong with a little guy on guy action,
yeah,
bro?
Okay,
I'm like, frankly, as a man, I enjoy watching other. I think there's nothing manlier than being able to sit there and enjoy that. You know, come on, man. What's wrong? You know, manly.
It's just blokes hanging out, isn't it?
He's one of the, yeah, you know.
Is he like a lad?
I feel like, yeah, that happens. A lot of guys like that in the UK though, you know?
There's always one guy like that, I feel, in every guy.
Well, I feel like lads culture is definitely like a thing in the UK, which is like kind of...
Oh, same in Australia, yeah.
Yeah, do you guys have lads culture in Australia?
Do you have friends who would be like that if you try...
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, like, because I went to a boys' school as well, so it was more so where it's like just macho insecurity everywhere, where it's like, you know, you'd be out school.
It's kind of toxic.
Yeah, you'd be out after school, and they'd just be like, you know, a girl from like, you know, a nearby girl school or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You should totally smash her, bro. You should totally smash her. It's like, I'm just like, I'm not...
You know, I try not to be confrontational because they're your friends, right? Mm-hmm. But I also try and I'm not going to sit there and be like, dude, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty not okay, man.
That's pretty fucked.
Yeah.
I've had arguments with my friends about it as well, where I'll just be like, yeah, that's kind of homophobic. I don't know if you realize it is, but that is homophobic.
Exactly.
Like, do you think because we spend so much time on the internet that we've just had like more awareness about this kind of culture and stuff?
Because I think so, because you know, a lot of my friends would never be like, I don't think they would ever be like, I hate gay people or anything right? Mm. But also you have to understand where that comes from. If there's something where you can watch a normal sex scene, but you can't watch a gay sex scene.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, why is that? Like, what's going on there? Like, if you're a normal person, surely who doesn't give a fuck, you'd have no problem to either, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you would find one hotter than the other, but surely you wouldn't have a problem, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is too much for trash taste viewers.
I mean, like, just because you're okay with watching a sex scene doesn't mean you need to be like into it.
No, that's what I mean. Like, that's what I'm saying.
There's, like, a difference between being into
that's
it.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was trying to be like. I was like, you don't have to actively dislike it. Yeah. Like, but like, you don't have to like turn it off or like go in the other room.
Yeah,
like,
you
know what I mean? Like, there's a you can just sit there and be like, all right, it's not for me, but I'm not going to be disgusted by
it. It's part of the story, right?
Yeah, so it's like, it is what it is. Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, you know, if it's part of the plot, it's what it is, man. Like, they're like, oh, I don't know, it's just kind of weird, isn't it? I'm like, is it weird? Explain how it's weird.
It's like, don't watch Brokeback Mountain if that's the case. That's literally what that movie's about.
I was like, that's the problem though. You think it's weird. Like, it's not, like, it's not weird that people fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Right? I think the problem is that it's just a lot of the times, especially like in lads culture, people just have never thought about this too deeply. Cause that's right, like-
they have these, I'm not saying that someone is, I totally agree with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, cause like, This is what I feel every time I go back to my hometown and I see some like my hometown friends who like I very much grew up in like lads culture, hanging out with like lads.
Yeah.
Like, and they still like fucking go to, you know, go every fucking summer, go to Ibiza and, you know, try to smash as many birds as possible. it's you know, that kind
that's
of
what
like,
it is, yeah.
That's
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of like lads culture. And as I've grown older, I'm just like, yeah, this is a kind of a toxic mindset in a lot of ways. You know, it's very much, because I think the problem is that they don't really talk about it. They don't really talk about their feelings or like really think about things too deeply, because that's not a lad's thing to do.
That's considered weak.
Yeah, right? That's considered weak.
Yeah.
You're not an alpha male if you talk about your feelings and shit.
And also, you know, they don't really have conversations like this.
They don't
talk about it. So that normally when it's been something that I've spoken about with people, it's like, especially in like where I'm from, it's like the first person who's ever been like, now why do you feel that way about this?
Yeah.
now why is it that it makes you uncomfortable? You know what I mean? Like,
So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, yeah.
Expand on that. And I was just like,
And you know, and I've had like confrontations about it, because it's like they get very defensive about it. Because they feel like, oh shit, wait, is he trying to say that I'm in the wrong for feeling this way?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I'm not trying to, but it's like, why are you feeling that way? Maybe look at like what's going on in there.
It's funny because like some of the most kind of insecure people I've ever met are like some of the like biggest lads I've ever seen. Right. Like the prop like gym bros who.
Yeah. Sometimes it's insecurity. Sometimes it's toxic masculinity. Sometimes it's homophobia. It's like, it's whatever it is. Mm. It's like, get to the core of it if that's what's bothering you. You can't watch Brokeback Mountain without being disgusted.
It's a great movie.
Look, it's a great movie.
All I'm saying is, if you're a guy, don't be afraid to talk about your feelings with other guys. Yeah. I feel like I didn't have that when I was growing up, because I thought that it was the mentality where if I did this with my bros, then I was the weak one. You know, that's not what bros do to each other.
Yeah, you know, and I wouldn't say we're like SJW or anything like that. I just don't want to discriminate.
Yeah, exactly.
Why should you? You know,
exactly.
It's my personal opinion. I'm sure that I'm no doubt there's some viewers of Trash Taste, but I can't believe this, that they've spoken about this issue and stuff. But I mean,
it's a sensitive topic.
Stuff that I would talk about. Yeah, but I mean, there's some things that are sensitive, and there's some things where I'm like, no, that's just straight up wrong.
Of course. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, there's some things where I'm just like, I think we should talk about this, and I think it's not toxic at all to at least start a conversation, because I think a lot of the times, a lot of people just never really put any thought into it. Mm. And a lot of the time they don't. Yeah, they grew up in a culture, they grew up in a lifestyle, and that has just never put them in a position that challenges the way they think.
And if someone does feel uncomfortable with us talking about this topic or hearing that idea makes you uncomfortable, I would say just like, don't get angry about it. Mm-hmm. Don't react to it. Just think like, all right.
Just turn off Trash Taste. Go watch Brokeback Mountain, maybe.
Just think, why does it? Like, why does it get you angry? What about it? If that's like a whole religious thing, all right, fine. That's your problem. But like, I don't know. I just feel like,
It's better now for at least people who are like, I guess, on the internet and especially on social media, because people are talking about this more often, which is good. But I still like you forget sometimes that we are not, I don't even know if we're the majority, you know, because every time I go home,
I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Talk about it, right?
It's hard to tell I'm like so ingrained in, obviously our jobs are surrounded with the internet and surrounded with, you know, people who think like me that it's weird whenever you go back home, see family, see friends from back home, and you're just like, wow, everyone thinks exactly the same. Everyone has not changed much at all because there's no one in their community or in their group of friends that are exposed to the same thing as we are. So,
yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
Because obviously on my channel, like very pro LGBTQ, but like, obviously going back home, it's not a thing that's spoken about much. It is kind of. It depends who you ask, really.
I think now more than before, definitely.
Yeah.
With how the world's just changing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my parents are pretty good with it. I always try and educate them as well when I can. Try and tell them about it.
Mm. Yeah. I would like to think most of the time it is just pure ignorance. And
oh, totally. Especially if in small towns.
Yeah.
Obviously not everyone is on the internet all the time. Everyone's in a big city surrounded by it. So it's, you know, a lot of the time they just don't come across it. They're just like, oh, that guy's very funny on TV and he's gay. Really? That's what it's like. That's what my parents are like. They're like, he's gay. I'm like, oh, wow, thanks, man.
They're cool.
That's like a thing, you know? But I mean, you know, it's everywhere now. So it's like, it's good.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. It sucks that it's one of those things that it even has to be somewhat controversial sometimes to talk about, right? And we even really spoke about it on Trash Taste. So I'm sure that some people will be alienated by it, but it sucks that it even has to be something that alienates people.
Yeah.
You know, when exactly. It's just a fact, people are gay, get over it.
we just like Brokeback Mountain, man.
It's a great film.
It's a fucking awesome movie.
Trash Taste, Brokeback Mountain, watch along.
Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal, fucking amazing job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie.
You sometimes forget Heath Ledger's a fucking Australian in that movie.
Is he Australian?
Yeah, he's Australian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you think he's British? I think a lot of people think he's British.
I had no idea.
I think everyone thinks he's American.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I thought he was American because my first experience with Heath Ledger was 10 Things You Hate About Me.
Heath Ledger is Australian?
Heath Ledger is Australian.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Jake Gyllenhaal is American, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Jake Gyllenhaal.
No. Gyllenhaal is American. I'm Heath so Ledger confused, is. Man. Yeah. Fuck. The Joker is Australian.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just a great actor, right?
Yeah.
Fine, bro.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of, you know, if you're in Hollywood, I think we've talked about this, haven't we? How they're good at doing the American accent.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you watch like some of like the worst attempts at people attempting a British accent is comically bad.
I mean, I love Keanu Reeves, but his British accent.
Him in like Dracula?
Yeah, Dracula.
Yeah, that was it.
So bad.
That was hilarious.
It's a tie between that and fucking at the end of Django when Tarantino appears and is like an Australian.
Oh my God. What's going on, mate?
I died on the inside when I saw that. I was like, this movie was almost perfect. And then Tarantino was like,
Barlo.
I'm like, I'm glad he blew up yeah. at the end. Someone needed to get rid of that.
I'm sitting here like, what do we title this episode?
Right.
What do we even spoke about today?
I don't know.
How do we even get onto this? Oh, yeah. The summer is hot. The summer is hot.
Summer block, Trash Taste summer blockbuster.
Fuck no. Fuck no.
I love how like during the conversation earlier about whatever the fuck it was, just I was trying to listen to what you were saying, but just from the outside, I could just hear like a shitload of cicadas.
Cicadas?
Yeah.
Cicadas?
Cicadas?
Cicada. I say cicada.
Cicadas?
Isn't it cicada?
Is it cicada?
Cicadas?
Am I the weird one? I say cicada.
It's cicada.
Okay, Google, how do you pronounce cicadas? Sorry to anyone who fucking,
we can't continue with the podcast till we find us out. What does Google say?
Cicada gang, rise up.
Cicada.
It is cicada.
I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah!
Fuck off!
Hell yeah, Google!
Fuck off!
Wait, what
pronunciation?
Hell
yeah!
What site are you
using? What pronunciation?
Google.
Yeah, but does that say American or UK? Yeah. What is that? What's going on?
Thank you.
Oh, American is cicada.
Oh, I say cicada.
Oh, okay, this is American.
Wait, are correct! You I'm correct.
British cicada. No, British say cicada and Americans say cicada.
Yeah, so this is American, so
I say, yeah, I've been
and
saying
the British
cicada.
Say cicada.
Well, the thing is that we don't have them in the UK.
My life is a lie. My life is a fucking lie.
You know, cicada has been one of those words. Well, I should say cicada now. Cicada is one of those words that I've only ever been heard Americans say
because
we don't have it in the UK. No one says it in the UK.
True.
I've never heard any British person say.
Literally sounds like something out of Harry Potter. No, it's cicada. Yes. Cicada.
Cicada.
Have you heard a British person say cicada?
No, I've never heard a British person say cicada.
I'm saying cicada now. I'm getting it in my head now. Yeah. I want to say the
I know that because
you have to rewire your brain now.
I remember because we literally had a Netflix shoot where we had to talk about like summer anime things. Yeah. I put cicada. I thought cicada or cicada was spelled C-I-R. C-A-D.
Yeah, he literally wrote Sir Carter.
Sir Carter. and I denounced
you. Got fucking Sir knighted. Carter. Sir Carter.
Yeah, I thought Sir Carter had a R in it this entire time, and apparently it doesn't.
Not. It's cicada now.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I've said this before, the Netflix shoot, but I remember when I first moved to Japan, and I literally had gone my entire life thinking that every cicada sound effect in every anime was just a stock sound effect, right? Because they all sound exactly the same. You watch like one summer anime episode and you're like, they're just using the same fucking sound effect as the other anime, right? Yeah. And I didn't realize until I moved to Japan that cicadas just all sound exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a fucking Audio Jungle stock sound effect. No. I don't know how they sound so similar.
It's literally just been hardwired into their brain to be like, sound like this at this exact interval.
Yeah, to the point where I was like sitting at home one night or one day, and I literally thought I had the TV on playing a random anime, and I didn't realize that just the window was open.
Yeah.
I literally like went to my living room to turn off the TV because I was like, no one's watching anything. Lo and behold, it was just the window, and I couldn't tell the difference between a TV stock sound effect and the real life.
Yeah.
Man, have you seen them flying?
Yeah.
They're fucking massive.
They're terrifying.
Yeah.
I was outside the Trash Taste office, and I was just walking. Listen to music, just jamming, you know, and one flew in my fucking face and I fucking smacked it. I smacked it and I felt really bad because it hit the woman in front of me on her back.
You literally just tossed the cicada.
And she turned around and I was like,
fucking playing ping pong with
cicada. Yeah, because I just hit it because I panicked. I just fucking smacked it.
No, what's scarier is when they land on your balcony. But like, but you think they're dead.
They just don't move. Yeah.
Yeah. They just like kind of boom and just flop down. You're like, oh, is he dead? And then you touch it. It's like,
yeah, there's one outside my door. So I opened the door.
Yeah.
And then I started, and I'm like, ah, what is that?
Scarier than any horror film.
Because I just opened my door. You don't expect that. Yeah, there's nothing at my door. Yeah. You never expect a jump scare at your door. That's fucked up.
I'm going to use the last of my life to troll this human.
It was literally like under the door. So I opened the door and it was just, it got like, the door like rubbed it or something. And you're like, I was like, what is that? I'd never seen one before either.
No, I'd never seen one.
This is my first time seeing one.
I had never seen one before either. So yeah. I had no idea what they look like. And these fucking shitheads are so big.
Yeah.
They're fucking massive.
I just fucking yeeted back in my like apartment. I was like,
They're terrifying.
And also another thing I didn't know is that like, I had always assumed, like I remember the first time I came to Japan, like these motherfuckers are loud. Like, you need like noise canceling headphones to like even survive outside.
You,
right?
You think it's like a swarm of them. I
walked past this tree and I'm like, man, there are like a swarm of cicadas just in this tree. And then it suddenly just stops. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I realize it's one motherfucker making all this sound.
Yeah.
One motherfucker makes it's so loud. And it's actually like impressive how fucking loud the cicada is.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm on my balcony and like, I can hear what I think is a swarm of cicadas on like the other side of the city or something. And then I realize it's just one because it just like, it's so weird. Like having like a, like, it's so weird going outside and just hearing like a fucking noise. Like it sounds like an alarm.
Yeah.
And then it just suddenly stops as well. And then it just suddenly stops.
Why do they make noise? What are they trying to, is this trying to mate or something?
Yeah, it's a mating call.
Fuck's sake, why are they so
I think
fucking
they're like, isn't, don't they like rub their legs together to make that sound or something? I think it's
what, like a violin.
Yeah, like a violin. Yeah. Yeah. Like the world's shittiest violin.
Yeah, because apparently they can only mate during like a very short period of their life. Mm.
During the summer.
Yeah, during the summer. So they're like, they're fucking horny as fuck, man. They need to fuck.
They're the lads of the insect.
Yeah, mom. Yeah. And then they fuck once and they die. Yeah. And then that's it. That's just their entire life. They live for that one fuck and then they die. Like,
oh, they make as much noise as possible to get that
sorry,
one fuck.
I came too early, dies.
Just imagine nutting and then immediately dying.
Honestly, if it's
the best way to go.
Honestly,
sometimes I've nutted and I've wanted to die right after. You know what I mean? Like,
honestly, I can think of worse ways to die than having like a nut so amazing that you're like, all right, life is peaked now. I am death initiates.
Some people die from cows. You know, that's
oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm bringing this back, right? Because after that, I realized Gant was like, how do people die from cows? I'm like, Gant, they're like 4 tons. What do you mean, how do people die from cows?
So many people on the subreddit reminding Gant. Yeah.
You can die from cows, Gant.
Well, you can die from anything that's like 4 fucking tons, from any like heavy animal.
Yeah, so that's why. So don't make me look like an idiot for saying a cow can kill you. A cow can fucking kill you, Gant.
Just because a cow can kill you doesn't mean that, you know, probably if you get killed by a cow, you're doing something stupid, right?
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, right? Yeah, well, yeah. You'd have to try really fucking hard to die from a cow.
Most ways people die are from stupid ways, Gant, as well. Believe it or not.
I remember I saw a statistic in Japan where it's like more people in Japan die from vending machines that than they do shark attacks.
Oh, well, okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Where, how?
From shaking the vending machine and landing on you and dying.
Okay, well, that's just idiots being idiots.
You deserve that if you're shaking the vending
machine.
That's
what I mean. It's the same thing with a cow. Like, you're not going to be walking through the fucking paddock and then suddenly a cow's like, let me come and squish you.
But also, very, I think they can bite you as well.
Oh yeah.
Also, if you're strong enough to push a vending machine on yourself, why are you wasting all that talent? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get the vending machine to fall on you? It can't be easy. Do you jump on it? Like, how are you people doing this?
I don't know.
Have you tried moving a vending machine? It is not easy.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to be committed to this stupid act. Like, you really are admitting, like, all right, I'm breaking a sweat today. Like,
this is how I'm going to go.
Taking off the Yeezys for this one. Like, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying about dying from cows, you know? Why fucking try push, like, lying under a cow?
Behind
a cow? Just go swim in shark-infested waters, apparently.
I think you've more chance of dying via the cow, honestly. Have you not seen enough Live Link videos of people fucking with animals to realize
that
people
watch Live Link?
I don't know.
Do you just casually sit down and watch Live Link?
No, but sometimes you're
I'd rather watch a horror film.
Sometimes you're on Facebook or Twitter and one gets on there somehow and you just watch. I don't know, it just happens.
On Twitter?
Yeah. You just see like a monkey punching a man or something. I don't know.
What? What? Wait, what? What accounts are you following?
I don't know. I really, Justin Wang.
True, he does retweet some of those
clips. You just see shit and then like people like fucking around with monkeys and then the monkey just beats them up.
Honestly, like if I see the LiveLink logo, that's like I should probably not.
There
watch
is a worrying thing. Amount of people who think that like they can just like do whatever they want their animals.
Yeah.
But it's normally like third world countries and it's like scary because they're like fucking with like a monkey and then the monkey just beats them up and you're like, well, I mean, fair enough. Fair enough.
What did you expect?
The monkey kind of had the right, you know, in court, I would be innocent, you know?
You're literally fucking with the smartest animal.
Yeah, because like I'm just very wary whenever I see anything live link because I've seen enough fucked up shit on the internet.
It's also a meme. I've seen people put live link on them like meme stuff. I don't know. So now I'm like, I'm not sure if it's a meme or not.
It's like playing a game for like Reddit 50-50 or whatever it's called, right?
That's the only time I've seen enough live link to know where I'm just like, nothing good comes out of live link.
Sometimes it comes on and you're like, this is intriguing enough where I don't think I can stop watching now. Like the premise, I'm hooked.
I don't know, man. I very quickly pulled the plug.
Yeah, I'm just like,
you guys have more willpower than me. When I see the premise or the first 1 second of the video, I'm like, damn, I can't turn it off now. Is that wrong of me? I feel like that's bad. I mean, I'm just wired to clickbait. I don't know.
It's monkey brain activates, right?
Your curiosity gets the best of you.
Yeah. Speaking about you spelling circada incorrectly.
Yeah. Circada.
I realized like the other day, I'm like, shit, I can't spell shit without autocorrect anymore.
What?
My spelling is so bad without autocorrect.
Yeah, that's pretty much me as well.
I realize now when it's not on, I just kind of like type shit and I know that it will fix it for me.
I just
type fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got something similar as well where I'm like, I can't do mental arithmetic anymore. Like I literally like what like I'm just like, oh, what's a 9 times 8? And I'm just like, let me get out the calculator. Yeah. Like I'm so reliant on this shit now.
I can do it, but it'll take me like 20 seconds.
I can do it, but it requires thinking, and I don't. I'm not all about that, man.
9 times 8.
Yeah, that's easy though.
I was gonna say.
Think about it, God. How long does it take?
Wait, 18, are you? No, wait. Are you? 72.
There you go. You
got okay. it. Okay. I had to think about it.
Well done for graduating.
Masters in engineering, by the way.
Yeah.
What was your method of getting that?
I don't.
Because the 9 times table is the easiest.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have done 9 times 9 is 81, then just -8.
That's way too complicated for me.
There's an even easier one.
I should have done that.
Anything times 9 is super fucking easy.
I should have done that. I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't really have a system. It's just figuring it out,
whatever your
basically.
Brain is wired to do fast, right?
Yeah.
Well, for me, if it's 9 times 8, then it's like, well, 8 is, so it starts with a 7 because whatever you're timesing by 9 is always one digit below.
Yeah.
And then the two digits sums up to 9.
I never
7 plus 2 is 9.
You know how every time you would ever have like a new math teacher, they would always teach you that weird way of solving a plus and a minus?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they were like, right, so we're going to add 425 to 522. And then they're going to do, right, so we're going to add the 4 to the 5? Easy, it's great. That. And, you know, and I'm like, do we really need to write this down? Can we just...
And then there's always like the like just the really obscure ways to do it as well, where it's like there's got to be an easier way.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, so when you bring the 1 over, pull out your dictionary.
Yeah, or it would be like dividing by, and they would have this weird ass timetable or something to do it. And I'm like, this feels so convoluted. Why not just like figure out some other method?
It's like, know? Teacher, when am I ever gonna divide 973 by 67? Like. I'm never going to.
I'm never going to go on Countdown. I don't need to know this shit.
every like, single, like, yeah, like it is great that you, if you can do that with your mind, but there's
great party trick.
There's absolutely no setting where you are ever not going to be using a calculator. And even if you are, they will not allow you to do that because they won't trust you. Yeah. You should be using a calculator for good practice. You know what I mean?
Even if you could divide insane numbers, that people are like, no, that's not it.
It's good for like estimates when you're talking engineering terms. You're like, okay, well, could we maybe try this much? No, I don't think, just off the top of my head, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
That's good. But in general, like, you know, there's exams,
it's just funny how like mental arithmetic has just become kind of like a party trick. There's always like you always see that one guy every so often where you get like the bill and they can just like divide exactly the right amount in their head.
Yeah, but it's also like the shittiest type of party trick because it's the party trick that you do and nobody believes.
and people check it anyway.
And
right?
Either way, it's like, nah, no. Let me pull the calculator out. Oh, it is right. Oh wow, very good.
5 times 5 is 25.
I remember that.
Bullshit, let me check that.
I just work via round numbers now. That is just my life. But yes, exactly the same with spelling now, where I could not live without autocorrect. Yeah. And I don't know, I feel like it's-
Do you have those words that you just, you know what they look like, but you're like, I just can't be bothered to learn how to spell it right. You know what I mean?
I just spell necessary.
I was literally about to say that. That is the one where I'm like, I honestly cannot remember which, is it 2 C's, 2 S's?
Yeah,
I just type it.
2 S's, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm pretty sure
the
it's
one for me that always fucks me up that I still never get right is guaranteed.
Yeah.
I was like, is the U in there? Is there an A in this?
Guaranteed.
Is it guaranteed or is it guaranteed?
This is why I don't care. I haven't like, necessarily. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure it's 2 S's. No, it's not, is it?
It's 2 S's.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah, NECESSARY, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is, but I already
hold on,
shit.
Let me check.
let me get out the autocorrect.
I just type and then click, it's that one.
Yeah.
But the thing about spelling is that it doesn't, at the end of the day-
Spelling is irrelevant.
At the end of the day, you know, you can spell a word wrong and people will still get like the meaning of the word most of the time, right? Isn't there this-
Like phonetics, right?
Yeah, I mean, haven't you seen like the video where if you put the first letter right and the last letter right and just mix
it up- Everyone on the internet has seen that.
Yeah, it's the
have you seen the ballerina that spins the other way too, Gone?
Have you seen the dress that's blue and green, gold?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Oh my God, I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
The internet was on fire for a week, unnecessarily, over a fucking dress.
I remember meme culture. I remember that was like the hot thing back in the day.
I knew that dress meme went too far when people were like, all right, so I went into Photoshop and I got the color drop and I can confirm the hex digits that it is in fact blue and gold.
Wasn't there that like audio kind of-
Yanny and Laurel.
Yeah, that one.
Oh yeah. Now I remember that.
I just saw that. I was like, who cares?
Yeah, I felt like after the whole dress debacle, it felt like everyone was looking for the next thing that everyone would interpret differently.
Interpret differently.
And I just didn't give a fuck.
That was a nice meme that lasted 3 days.
Yeah. I remember like the only, what were they called? The audio, I'm like.
Audio illusion?
Audio illusion, that's it. Yeah. It's not really an audio illusion. It's just, did you guys ever do like the frequency test where you have to like test your frequency? And like, I remember I remember my frequency was like so fucking good as a kid. And I thought, I'm never going to lose this. I don't know. Like did you ever get that point where a grown up told you that this is going to happen to you when you grow up?
Yeah.
And as a kid, you're just like, that's never going to happen to me. It's never going to fucking happen to me.
Yeah, definitely.
And I remember the first time I felt old was the first time I did, the second time I did did a frequency test when I was like mid 20s. And I'm just like, this isn't the same number as I remember as a kid. The grown-ups are right. I'm getting old.
So is the frequency test like the how much you can hear? Is that the one?
Yeah. So like the better your hearing is, the higher the frequency
that you can hear. Yeah.
Generally, when you get around 30, it starts to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
But I mean, who the fuck needs to hear like the high kilohertz?
Oh, I mean, I immediately felt that, like, because you know, in like some arcades in Japan, tone that like stops like animals from coming into the thing.
Oh yeah.
Every time we walk past like an arcade with like a bunch of friends, they'd be like, fuck. I'll be like, what? I legitimately don't hear
anything. It's actually an advantage here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because Sydney can hear it and I can't anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Apparently it hurts. I'm just like,
like in a lot of shops in Japan, they just play this like high. I can't describe it. Actually.
I think isn't it to stop you, can like, you hear teenagers? It? Well, it's to stop teenagers from
people from loitering in front of the store.
I've also heard it's to stop birds from flying.
And cats
from coming.
Can you hear it, Connor?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay, what does it sound like? I was going to describe what just it was, and then I realized I've never heard it. I just realized I've never heard it.
It's just an uncomfortable ring in your ears.
Uncomfortable ring in your ears.
It's just not, it doesn't particularly feel good. It kind of hurts. Okay. I don't know, it just hurts.
It looks it's like literally it hurts.
That's what it's designed to do, is to hurt.
What I don't understand is that if they've just put this high frequency alarm or ring to stop birds, mosquitoes?
Animals and loitering.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
which one it's actually for.
Might be
is it for humans or animals?
I don't know.
Apparently it's for both because humans can hear it as well.
Probably should have picked a lower frequency then because it doesn't work. If you've just got shit hearing, then you're just immune to it. Like,
well, it's meaning to stop like kids loitering.
Okay.
So that's the idea.
Oh, okay. That's a-
But
that's
I've never been able to hear it though. Even when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you've been listening to like music for loud.
Yeah, I've been to too many concerts where my ears just got fucked.
You're going to be like 40 and be like, what? Why did you say to me, God?
I'm still like that.
Yeah, true, you are. Yeah, your hearing is really bad.
Yeah. No, but I talked about it on the podcast, remember? I was like, because when we went to go do the health checkup and I got an A for my hearing. And then I realized, I don't have bad hearing. I just don't listen.
You're just fucking dumb.
Yeah, I just don't care about what you say sometimes, but I just shut it out.
True.
That's what it is, yeah.
Boys, have any fun plans for the summer?
You know what I miss? This is like the first time in my life where I've just not lived near a body of water. Like,
we're surrounded by water. What do you mean?
We're literally an island country.
No, but like we're in Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
And I think the closest thing is like Tokyo Bay.
Yeah.
Like part of the summer experience for me is just going to the beach somewhere and just like having a nice chill, you know, beer or something, and haven't been able to do that for the past 2 years, and I've really missed that experience.
I mean, it doesn't really matter because like the beaches have been closed.
No, exactly. It doesn't matter anyway because I can't go to the beaches anyway. And like Okinawa's under lockdown, so I can't go there. Yeah. So I just doesn't feel like I've had the worst part of the summer experience, which is just the fucking blistering heat and haven't been able to just enjoy the nice part.
Trapped in a concrete jungle, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So what are you going to do for your summer then, Gon?
I don't know. What can I do for the summer?
Is there anything fun you can do in the summer that doesn't involve a beach or a pool or any body of water?
Stay inside, play video games.
That sounds pretty fucking good.
That sounds good.
That's what you do in winter though, right?
Both seasons.
Because another thing is that we get mosquitoes here in Japan. And we don't.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we do.
Yes,
I haven't
we
seen
do.
Any.
Do you not get bitten?
No.
Lucky.
I never get bitten by mosquitoes.
How would you not get bitten?
I get eaten alive.
Maybe, yeah. maybe my blood doesn't taste good. I don't know. I've never had a mosquito bite.
Apparently it does depend on your blood type. From
okay, I think it does because I get bitten to shit whenever mosquitoes are around.
I can be in an area where someone will get bitten a ton. I won't have any on me.
Lucky. I literally like-
God, I wish that was me.
Yeah. I literally laid outside on my balcony for like half an hour, came inside and I had like 10 bites on my back. Oh. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same.
I don't get by it, but I've never even considered it. I didn't even know they had them here.
Yeah, because normally the rule-
Jamie, I don't get bitten.
Are you serious?
Serious. I thought they didn't have them here because I don't get bitten.
Because that's another reason I love British summers is that we just don't have any bugs that are annoying because-
Wait, you guys don't have mosquitoes?
No.
Do you not remember when we were just chilling out in England, in my garden?
I just thought I got lucky. I just thought like, oh, there's a stronger blood type somewhere in the vicinity that they're going for.
There's no mosquitoes in the UK.
No, I'm just that guy. Cause like, I'm just that guy who like, I'm the bait, right? Cause yeah.
Is it that meme of like the blades falling down and the guy covering?
Yeah,
that's gone. Everyone else at the party.
Yeah, cause like if people hang out with me in Thailand or Japan or whatever, they get bitten less because I'm there. I'm the bait. I am what every mosquito goes towards. And I don't know why. Because
God, the martyr.
Because in Thailand, we have the saying where normally it's the mosquitoes go for the foreign people because it's the foreign people who have the sweet blood because the mosquitoes aren't used to their blood.
So that was a fucking lie.
So that was a fucking lie. Oh, well, technically I didn't grow up in Thailand, so maybe there's some kind of truth to it. But apparently if you have never been
beaten by a mosquito.
Mosquitoes fucking you, what's going on, huh? Coming to our neighborhood? No, I've never get bitten by mosquitoes.
I'm so fucking dude.
Is it like a blood type thing? I don't even know
apparently
my blood type.
Apparently it's like a blood type thing. It's also like a skin thing as well. Like certain skin, like if you have like oily skin, you're more likely to get bitten, shit like that. I don't know. There's lots of theories out there. I think it's literally just like, if you're unlucky, you're unlucky kind of thing.
Beer?
Pretty much. Beer?
No. Apparently if you're more likely to get stung if you're drunk.
Is that true?
Yeah, apparently.
Does that make the mosquitoes drunk?
I don't know.
That's probably why. They're like, my guys, time for a sesh, right? Because they get drunk in the blood, right?
Maybe. I've still never been bitten drinking, so I don't know what's going on.
They're just like, lads.
Is there a reason why mosquitoes go for people more or less?
Yeah, it's like there's like seven reasons.
Yeah. But I don't know if any of that has actually been like scientifically confirmed. I feel it's just like, it might be like a little like coincidence.
It's not tasty enough. What the fuck? Like, what is it like tasty?
Might be your blood type as well.
That's probably your blood type.
What if I'm not tasty, bro? What?
I want to be tasty.
What?
No, you don't want to be tasty.
You don't want to be tasty. You're missing out on nothing.
I want to be tasty. That's bullshit.
Mosquitoes are fucking-
They're the worst.
They're the fucking cunts of the fucking insect world, man. Yeah. No, nobody likes mosquitoes. People, they could be like the biggest animal lover in the world and they see a mosquito and like, fuck that little shithead.
Isn't like the mosquito, I think I read somewhere, isn't the mosquito like the only animal in like the food chain where if you got rid of them, it just wouldn't change the food chain?
I don't know if that's an urban legend, but I hope it's true.
I think it's something like that. Because I remember saying, because like, I think I looked it up because I was like, because in Australia, we have a shit ton of flies during the summer, right? Like it's fucking horrible, especially if you're like out in the desert.
Yeah.
Nothing but flies, it's disgusting. And I think I just thought to myself like, man, I really just wish all flies just disappeared. And then one of my friends was like, oh no, like flies are like really important to the food chain. You know, like there's a lot of animals that eat flies. True. And I thought like, is there an animal where if it just disappeared one day, Would the food chain still be intact? And I think mosquitoes was one of them.
Humans, probably.
Oh yeah, that's it.
I think they'd be grateful actually if you fucked off.
Touche, I just called myself out there.
We like to think of that.
But you got me, animals.
We're the problem all along.
You got me there.
We were the virus all along, right? <I'm sure that's- laughs> But no, yeah. I mean, I hope mosquitoes are fucking useless things because
I mean they just fucking carry diseases, right? Like that's all they really do.
Yeah, they all they do is like give malaria to people, right?
Pretty much.
There's probably like one,
other things.
There's probably one like really obscure species of spider or something that could only feed on mosquitoes that would die out.
That's
like
integral to the food chain. It's always like that, isn't it? It's like no, there's this one animal that specifically eats this thing.
Yeah.
How would you even eradicate mosquitoes? How would you even go about that?
I don't know. Don't ask the Aussie. They've had like enough problems trying to eradicate
the
cane toads, right?
Yeah. So we have a lot of sugar cane in Australia. During like the 1800s, and then cane flies were introduced, which are these specific breed of flies that only eat sugar cane, and which completely wiped out our sugar cane. And we're like, well, fuck, we gotta get rid of these flies because our food is getting fucked up.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, I've heard overseas there is a specific type of toad called the cane toad that specifically only eats cane flies. Someone thought, oh, it's brilliant. That's gonna solve all of our problems. Let's introduce it. So they introduced it. Yeah, all the cane flies disappeared. But then somebody realized, shit, nothing eats cane toads. And they're literally poisonous and they're killing our native animals. Yeah. So now we just have a cane toad outbreak.
And you just can't get rid of them.
And we just can't get rid of them.
Dude, it's like me playing chess. They only thought one move ahead. They didn't plan anything else. Like, this feels like a vast oversight in like possible downsides.
Yeah.
There's no pros and cons list. Someone was like, bro, my mate's got one. Bring it over. Yeah. Let's test it out.
Sounds like the beginning of like an Always Sunny skit, right? Yeah. Like you're just like, oh, let's bring over the cane toads. And you just see like the fucking intro title. Gang introduces cane toads to the food chain.
But then again, Australia hasn't had very much luck with animals. I mean, we had an emu war and we lost.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what the fuck is that about? Like, I hear every Australian say that and I'm just like, that just sounds like a sick-
The Great Emu Wars.
It's like the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah.
Like, they went to war against emus.
And they lost.
And we lost.
How did you, okay, do you want to explain that?
Dude, have you seen an emu?
No.
They're fucking terrifying.
Can they kill you?
Yeah. Okay. It's Australia. Everything can kill you.
Should have known that one. Should have saw that one coming.
Were they eating crops? Is that what they were ruining crops?
Yeah,
right?
They were ruining crops. And again, like they kind of just like overbred themselves to the point where there was just a shit ton of emus and just not enough space. So they started invading farmland. Obviously, farmers got pissed off about it. So they tried to get them out of it. But obviously, it's one man versus a fucking 2.5 meter bird that can literally just kick you in the chest and kill you. Okay. So I think it went on for like a month or something. I don't know how long it was. It was a very short war.
They wasted so much money and like ammunition and time.
Ammunition?
Yeah.
They were shooting them.
They were shooting them.
Seriously? They were like trying to gun them down.
Yeah.
But they could bet like- there
But
was...
the emus were literally like the Spartans and they were like-
Yeah, because they would-
It was like, we were like Xerxes' army and the emus were the Spartans and they were like, oh shit.
Because they would like, they weren't fighting them, but they just kept getting away.
Yeah.
It was like a Looney Tunes skit. Like they couldn't kill them.
It was like, just like the Benny Hill theme for like a month straight.
They had to wait and ambush them. That's how they-
Are you serious?
Because they travel in flocks, right? Yeah. They go together in flocks and they would try and ambush them.
And they're also extremely they can run like 60, 70 Ks an hour.
The moment they started opening fire on them, they just ran away. And they would only kill like, you know, like-
A couple of them maybe,
But they'd wasted like 100 grand in ammo. Like ammo isn't cheap. I feel like because we're so used to war, you think the ammo is like affordable.
Yeah.
Like ammo is super expensive.
Yeah.
So they were just wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars on bullets.
Especially when that war was happening as well. It's probably even more expensive. And then one day someone was like, it's not worth it, is it?
No.
Just wave the white flag and then they just retreated. And
it was embarrassing. Like, it was like a huge embarrassment.
So what was the outcome of this war?
The emus won
and they're just roaming the land now?
Yep.
Yeah. They just failed miserably.
What is going on in Australia?
I'm sure everyone who's like watched internet videos has heard about this.
Yeah.
Like this is a very internet video topic.
This sounds like an internet historian skit, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't made a video on it yet, to be honest. It's great material.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like on the same level as like, you know, the 4chan Tumblr wars or something like that. What do you need an internet historian breakdown?
It just doesn't sound like it really happened.
It just feels like the laziest strategy of killing them, you know?
Like there were people like, who like no people, one... there were people who died as well during the Great Emu War.
I just feel like nobody thought this plan through. Like surely there was a better way of getting them. You know what I mean? Like that's what pisses me off most. It was the laziest solution. They were like firing squad. And they were like, yeah, okay. Like nobody thought, is this really the best idea? You know?
Well, yeah, they were probably, because someone probably took one look at the fucking shotgun they had and they were like, we got this. Easy double.
They need a fucking Hollywood breakdown on this, you know? Where's the Hollywood summer blockbuster of the Australian emu war? Come on, Hollywood, get it together. There's a storyline there somewhere.
Man versus emu.
Should have carpet.
Zack Snyder, come on. This is the next Zack Snyder film.
It's like a 300 spin-off.
It's like Planet of the Apes from the perspective of the emus.
Planet of the emus.
Emus together, strong. I would watch it. Yeah, it's about, yeah, it's about the emus winning, perspective of the emus.
Yeah.
One of them voiced by Raymond from Everyone Loves Raymond.
Get back, Nicolas Cage. Come on.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage is what is the main role. So, and the supporting role is Raymond.
And he goes insane as the emus win.
There's a part where Raymond dies. You know, he gets shot and then Nicolas Cage,
Nicolas
is
Cage
like freaking
loses
out.
His mind. Yeah,
yeah, he's freaking out. He's like, I can't go on. But he has to.
Oh my God.
And ends with a climatic scene where they run
what's
at the army.
What's the summer experience in Australia? Because like Australia, it's like Christmas. Winter there, right?
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Like I always hear about like it's summer, it's like winter in Australia, but like what is winter for Australia? Is it actually cold? Or
yeah, do you like swap them? Do you just refer to winter like our summer as winter?
No.
Like July. Is July winter?
July is the coldest time of year in Australia.
But is it winter? Is July winter?
It depends where you are. So in Sydney, it right. doesn't get cold enough to snow. But if you drive for like two hours into Canberra, it snows like a motherfucker.
I've been always under the impression, no matter the temperature, that winter is the time of year. Like winter is always November to January. Sorry, November to February.
Yeah. I guess.
That is winter. Is it the same in Australia where you would refer to that period as winter?
No, that's summer.
But everyone else around
you is hottest, like- The hottest time of the hottest day of any year is always New Year's
but
Eve.
I always thought that it was like, okay, no matter what country you're in, this is winter.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Is winter. Doesn't matter the temperature.
What are you talking about?
Because
winter is the coldest time of year. For us, that's May to August.
Yeah, I know. I just thought that winter as a concept was a time period, not the season.
No, it's definitely a season for us.
Mm.
Because like, at least from my memory, the hottest day of any year is always the last day of the year.
Right.
So I used to, our family always used to go to that one mate's place who had that giant swimming pool in his backyard because you're in that pool till about 2 a.m. because it's so fucking hot. I remember right. the hottest experience I've ever had in my life. It was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And it was 45 degrees. All right. Obviously 45 degrees. Everyone's in the pool. Mm-hmm. Even yeah. after the sun went down, it was like 41 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was so hot that I remember I went home like that morning, it was like 5 a.m. and the fridge had just exploded from the heat. Like the fridge just stopped working.
Bro.
The fridge just like, all right guys, I'm out. Yeah. Have a nice day. The
fridge just like, it's like happy new year lads.
My final message to the world.
Yeah, so I remember my parents got super pissed off because they just like, literally first day of the year, they went to the electronics store and bought a new fridge because it just got busted from the heat.
Well, a fridge is one of those appliances though that I'd be excited to get a new one. I'd be like, wow, we can really mix it up with the fridge this time.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, I think it's good when you can buy a fridge on your own accord, right?
I disagree. Yeah. I prefer it when my appliances break. Because then I'm like, oh, I have to spend money. Oh, there's no trip.
Oh, woe is
me. I guess I have to get the most expensive one. Jeez. But when you're upgrading, you're like, oh, fuck. I've got a perfectly good one. Oh, I don't really need.
You start with a cockroach fridge, yeah, a washing yeah. machine, or whatever whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, because if it's a good appliance.
Your standard of an upgrade is quite low. It's like, we're going from cockroaches to no cockroaches.
It's all uphill from
there. There are some appliances where I'm like, it literally doesn't need anything fancy. Like a microwave does not need to be fancy.
No.
A microwave just heats. Heat thing up good. Thank you.
It literally vibrates more water molecules. Yeah,
I don't need-
Literally, how could you do that differently?
Like, because I'm using Joey's old one.
Mm. Yeah.
Because Joey just gave me his one because he wanted to get
an oven. Microwave oven.
Microwave yeah. oven, which I don't believe in. I think that's nonsense.
Yeah, I got the kettle from Joey. Because when did Joey give you the microwave? Was it when you moved here?
Why are you guys like taking my hand-me-down?
No, because
you were like, do you want a microwave? And I was like, sure.
Because I remember because this was literally in the first week when we moved here and we were just like settling in, whatever. And you were just like, oh, do you want a kettle? You can have a free kettle.
Yeah, they were making it out to be like a gift.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Fuck off. This is not a gift.
Yeah. I remember thinking at the time, oh my God, such good mate he is. He's just helping me like, he just helped me, helping me decorate the house and giving me appliances.
I was using those older sibling skills.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because I remember it was like, Aki was like, do you want to just take the microwave? I was like, why would I, why were you saying that? Why would I just take the microwave? And they're like, "Oh, we just need like a gift," and I'm like, "It's not a fucking gift. you just want a new one.
Yeah.
I'll take it, but don't preface that it's a gift." No,
because we were gonna buy an oven.
Yeah, you wanted to, right?
And then we realized, oh, it's not just an oven; it's a microwave.
Yeah. But I remember that Aki was like, "It's a gift." I'm like, "It's not a gift."
Because now living in Japan, I know getting rid of appliances is a fucking nightmare.
It's the worst.
It's a fucking nightmare. So I'm just like, that motherfucker just wanted to get rid of his appliances that he wanted to replace. And he framed it as a fucking gift.
Yeah. So the process.
It's like, welcome to Japan. Here's the kettle I don't use again.
Here you go, man. I'm such a good mate. Yeah. I'm literally giving you free
stuff. British. You like kettles, right? There you go.
I do. But yeah. I actually don't use my kettle anymore. I use the hot pot thing.
Ooh.
Like thermos pot, whatever it's called.
Thermo pot?
Whatever. Where you put like 2 liters of water in a pot and it keeps it boiling the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
It's more energy efficient.
Ooh. Fancy.
But yeah, in Japan, if you want to get rid of your appliances, this is something that you should definitely be aware of.
Oh, it's the worst.
Because if it's over, like, if it's a big appliance, mm-hmm. so like, I think a hairdryer or bigger is considered as a big appliance, right? Yeah. You have to call up.
So literally all appliances.
So literally any appliance.
You have to call up the local government mm-hmm. in your area and tell mm-hmm. them you want to get rid of it, and then you schedule it, right?
I actually just finished doing that the other day because we had to get rid of our old dining table and our old like cabinet that had all of our dishes in it. Because
yeah.
Wait, why didn't your old moving company do it? Or your moving company do it?
We just kind of forgot, eh?
Oh.
Yeah. We just kind of, because I originally had the old kitchen table that we had on my balcony because I thought, oh, I could use this if I'm like barbecuing or doing something outside and I need something to like place it on.
Yeah.
But then I kind of didn't use it. It got hit in the rain. I forgot to put like a lacquer on it. So it just started rotting. And I was like, all right, need to get rid of this now. And it was, oh my God.
Dining tables do that if you put them outside.
Yeah. So, but it's cool though, because in my area that you can like register it through like Line.
Oh, that's cool.
But the sucky thing is, had to wait about, I don't know, 4 weeks to throw it out. Because they were like, oh, you have to schedule it ahead of time. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You've
maybe it's
4 weeks to throw things.
Maybe it's
out.
Like, you know, next week or like this weekend or something, you know, whatever. It's insane. So the next open slot is 40 days from now.
And you have to give them the precise measurements of the thing.
Yeah.
As well, which is, I mean, it's obviously, I understand why, but it's one of the things where it's like, this is a hassle that I've never had to do in the UK before.
Yeah.
So why am I measuring something that I'm about to throw out? Yeah. Just doesn't make, it's a bit ass backwards.
Yeah, yeah. I made sure the moving company that I've hired at the moment for my place, I'm like, you throw things away, right? Mm. You throw them away?
Good thing about the like things like fridges or like washing machines and stuff like that is that like there's usually a service where when they bring the new one, they take away the old one.
That's true.
Yeah. Like we just got a new washing machine.
And they take away the old one.
And they take away the old one. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, whoever sold you the fucking cockroach fridge, they were just like, man, they were like, 500 IQ. Yeah. We got him to pay for this shit. We got him to pay for this.
I got scammed. That was a scam.
You got straight up scammed.
First time in Japan, huh? I got a gift.
Welcome to Japan. Yeah,
what a warm
man.
Greeting to a foreign country. But yeah, no, I made sure the moving company was like, you throw things away, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, great. Everything needs to go. Get rid of everything. I'm literally throwing away like nearly everything I own. Because I'm like, it's all awful.
It's time for an upgrade.
Because I'm like, yeah, because my bed was like $200 for like the bed and the mattress. It's fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure like, you know, prisoners in isolation get better beds than what I've got. So I was like, you know, I'm get rid of it.
They get a whole padded room.
But it's an absolute nightmare, right? Because yeah, I do. Yeah. I get the whole soundproofing too.
Yeah.
So, because if you want to do it myself, I have to disassemble the bed and then like put it down into the thing, schedule when they're going to come get it, and then kind of like, schedule getting a new bed myself in between the day I'm throwing it out. It's a real nightmare.
Yeah. That was a nightmare for us. And that's why, like, when we moved into our new place, because we threw the bed, our old bed away.
Yeah.
When we were waiting for the new bed, we had to sleep on, like, a fucking blow-up mattress for, like, a week.
Oh, wow.
Just because the timing was off.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, because I'm thinking to, like, get rid of my desk in my place.
Oh, because you're thinking about getting the standing desk we have in this office.
But I'm just dreading having to like schedule, I have to wait another month to like throw this thing out and then I have to take it down myself and disassemble it. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it sucks. Please make it better.
You can get a service, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just gonna like, I'm just gonna pay the money, just get someone to just come and get rid of it.
Honestly, because it takes some, if you want to get rid of a few appliances, it's probably gonna take like all day just to sort out.
Yeah, I mean, if you can make, you know, it's probably what, an hour to disassemble, then you gotta fuck around with the calling the people, taking it down, figuring out when you gotta do all that stuff. Like, it's probably what, 3 hours of work?
Yeah.
You could probably make more than the money it would cost to do that.
Yeah,
if you
just yeah.
work. So it's like,
definitely.
I would rather, because I also don't, it's sometimes it's not even the money. It's like, I don't want to deal with this stress.
Mm.
Like, this is a stressful thing that I don't like dealing with.
Yeah.
And so I will pay a premium to not have to do that.
Not only that, but like, I have to deal with it in this weather.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
well. It's like, fuck yeah. that. Disassembling that dining table in this heat was hell.
I like fixing my electronics and like opening them up and doing that stuff because I enjoy that. But I don't enjoy disassembling furniture and desks.
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah,
I like assembling furniture. Well, I don't like disassembling furniture.
Dude, some people are like so good with that stuff and they enjoy it. They're just like, zoom, doom, 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 doom.
No, but like disassembling furniture is like the most depressing thing in the world. Because like, at least if you're assembling furniture, you have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
You have the final product. Yeah. What are you looking forward to after disassembling the furniture? Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. But that's why in the UK, I used to just put it on like websites and I'd be like, who wants it for free? I'm just come.
Oh yeah, yeah. We used the service for that when we moved to get rid of our couch.
Yeah, I'm like, who wants it?
We just there's a website where you can just like, just put it up for like 0 yen. It's like, you want to come and get it? Some dude came to get it.
Yeah, as long as you take it away, you deal with it, you can have it. That's what I did in the UK with all the stuff. Like I had like a budget gaming chair that was just broken. And I was like, oh, if someone wants it, you can have it. It's kind of jank. It still works, but it's not great. And then someone just came.
Yeah.
Some Russian guy turned up to my door. And was like, my son will love this chair. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I just don't want to do anything in this heat. Like, if I'm not inside in an air-conditioned place, then I just don't want to be there. Like, me and Sydney tried to, like, schedule a date the other day where we just go out and do something, and then we realized we just don't want to fucking do anything outside. Let's just try and find something inside because it's literally impossible to do anything. And especially now with inside activities kind of on lockdown, it's really hard to find anything right now.
Yeah, exactly.
True. Amen to that.
Yeah.
You know who else hates the summer heat? Our patrons.
Ooh.
Probably. I don't know. Actually, if our patrons were here, they would definitely
hate summer heat. Yeah. If you're British, I don't know if you hate summer or not.
I can't stand this.
I didn't until I moved outside, and now I hate the summer. Not as much as the winter, though.
Yeah.
Winter sucks.
Doesn't that we have to record Trash Taste with these blasting lights on us?
Yeah. I was sweating a lot this episode because we didn't turn on the air conditioning in this fucking heat. So
as you were talking earlier, I could literally see a giant bead of sweat.
It's because like I've got the fucking sun staring at me and we don't even fucking have the AC on.
The price that you can't say that we don't care about you guys.
Maylin gave me the Evian facial spray, which I actually accepted, and I realized that it did nothing.
How the tables have turned.
We suffer to make good content for you guys.
So if you'd like to support our suffering, then make sure to go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/trashtaste. Also follow us on Twitter, send us the memes on the subreddit, and if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify.
Yeah, and I guess that's this episode, this summery themed episode of Trash Taste, I suppose. Was it summery themed?
Well, you're dressed for the occasion.
I you know,
wow, you're so dressed well for the occasion.
I'm gonna like start a barbecue off of this, right? God.
Very dad of you.
Yes, but anyway, that's been this episode of Trash Taste. Hope you enjoy your summer, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.